about.
You know, I came out here, I knew what I had to do. And it's 4th of July, I was just having fun eating hot dogs.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. I do it up big on the 4th of July.
I'll tell you something, it is sometimes really tough to find a parking space at fireworks displays. It seems that every 4th of July I show up at the city park ready for fireworks. It takes me 10 minutes to find a space. Then I only have 15 minutes to get a hot dog and put my blanket down because I usually get there 25 minutes before. 15 minutes is enough time, so it's really not a big deal.
4th of July. 4th of July.
And now.
4th of July.
Our feature presentation.
What? No?
Nope.
But I thought. Really?
I mean,
I thought wasn't today the day we're supposed to come back and do the show?
Most of us,
technically, yes.
I thought that vacation was over.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I thought it was monkey time.
Well, it should be.
Well, how about that? I don't know why you would think that I would be prepared for this eventuality, mm-hmm. but it didn't occur to me that he actually wouldn't be here at the start of the show.
Well, I got a text from him saying, check my Snapchat, which is always good.
Oh, dear.
And it's a picture of him on the freeway. The traffic is stopped, and there's a police car right in front of him. And says, first day back from vacation, going to be late.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, look who saunters in with a big smile on his face. It's Kevin.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Are we still doing this?
I think we are.
That's sort of a bummer.
Yeah. So okay, what happened?
I got up early.
Sure.
I figured I'd give myself plenty of time.
Right.
It's been a couple of weeks since I've been here.
Maybe I thought you were making breakfast omelets.
Maybe I forget the directions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And a car accident happens right in front of me, and then a highway patrolman pulls in front of me. You know how they do that swerve back and forth to slow down traffic?
Traffic stops.
I was first in line.
Oh.
Just sitting there. And a motorcycle tried to go by, and he used his loudspeaker. Do not pass me, please.
Uh-oh.
So,
but that shouldn't have stopped you from gunning it. I mean, come on, you're a busy man with places to go.
So I figure, you know, Mother Nature, again, against me getting here on time, it's not my fault.
Mother Nature?
I don't know, whoever.
Okay.
Whoever's in charge.
Mother Nature's in charge of traffic?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I just feel like Mother Nature is the ultimate power.
Mm-hmm. You do a lot of reading on break?
Not a lot.
All right, when you say... Let's delve into Kevin's dictionary.
Let's not.
When you say you got up early because you got the first day, how many minutes early?
Well,
or how many times did you press snooze?
No, I got up about 5 minutes early.
Oh, wow.
Now
okay.
In my
that's
world,
a commitment.
That's a day. Yeah.
That's like your half hour.
Right.
So then I made sure, like, okay, now I'm going to eat. Okay, 5 minutes early, good. Now I'm going to leave 5 minutes early.
Sure.
So I left myself plenty of time. I mean, you guys are lucky I'm here now.
Yeah, yes. We're lucky.
Right?
Yes, we are.
We're so lucky. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
The worst.
Well, look, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, but I have to ask, mm-hmm. am I...
Yes.
Okay.
Are you what?
I was afraid. Am I a bad man?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
If I'm at the point now where... I'm just over fireworks. Does that make me a bad person?
No, it makes you the get off my lawn guy.
I think I might be the get off my lawn guy when it comes
You've
to
been
fireworks.
That guy for a long time.
No, but when it comes to fireworks,
yeah.
I mean, first of all, fireworks.
Sure.
Right.
And then more fireworks mm-hmm. from people. Mm-hmm. Look, here's my whole thing, is that, you know, we have to have a party every year at my house on the 4th of July because
what a disaster.
Fireworks right in front of my house. I mean, the fireworks on the island go off directly in front of my house. So we have no
You don't even have to leave your house to see beautiful fireworks and you're upset?
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Thank you, Allie. Thank you.
Making fun of you.
Everybody else has to leave their house and get in a car and drive someplace to see fireworks.
No, I couldn't avoid them if I wanted to. It's like I live inside the barge where the fireworks go off. I mean, literally, they could not be closer to my house and not set my house on fire. That's how big the fireworks are and right in front of me. So, okay. So it's this is the first year in many, many years where we haven't had a day off after the 4th of July.
Played a part.
5th of July is always a holiday because, you know, if it's on a Wednesday, they give you the rest of the week. If it's on a Thursday, if it's on a Friday, it's on a Saturday, it's on a Sunday, you get the Monday off. But when it's on a Monday, boom, you're back. Okay. Yeah. So, That was right. So that was part of it. So the fire, and of course I live in a city that's, I'm in Canada practically, so it doesn't get dark until after 10. So the fireworks can't start until then. So then they go for a half
Have you
hour.
Seen Gran Torino?
Yes, I have.
That's you.
So then it's 10:30 now. Okay.
Right.
Now it's 10:30. Now I've got 30 people in my house and it's 10:30.
Right.
And I need to just hustle them out. I mean, I start turning off lights and I just start putting dishes away and pulling coats out and just throwing them into the yard. I mean, I'm doing everything I can to get this thing going.
Fight so the host.
I would have given anything to have video of Bean throwing people's jackets out the front door.
So finally,
get out!
I get them out of the house. I get them, you know, wrangled. And it's like, I don't know, it's 10
they're not
after
cattle.
11
they're
or something like that.
They're house guests.
11:15. I didn't invite any of them. I didn't invite one of them, just so you know.
Right.
Donna had 30 guests. I had none. Okay, so now it's 11:15, and I think, oh, thank God. So you get the dogs and get them all set up and then get up to bed. It's 11:30 now. And then the other people, the Kevins of the neighborhood, they still got fireworks.
Sure they do.
So they're shooting them off like crazy. I mean, big-ass fireworks. It's 11:30. It's 11:45. It's midnight. And they're not just shooting off fireworks. And by the way, they have to know at this point that most people have to work the next day, right? It's midnight. They're shooting off fireworks.
It's the 4th of July.
Right. But it's midnight on a school night for almost everybody. And they're shooting off fireworks.
Oh, Bean.
It's not enough just to shoot off fireworks. Then they have to go, woo! I got to do the woo!
Of course.
Fireworks. Why? What's the woo?
The woo is how fun it is to light stuff on fire and watch it go boom.
No.
Yes. What are you talking about?
So Bean,
let me ask you this question.
What?
You've been on vacation for a couple of weeks.
Right.
So if you have a late night last night, you wake up this morning, maybe you're a little tired, but you're fine because you've had 2 weeks off. It's not like you're desperate. You've been working for 6 months straight and you can't get any rest and you're just trying desperately to stay alive. You've been doing pretty much nothing for a couple of weeks.
Well,
so you stay up till 11.
That's not true. But second of all, enough with the goddamn fireworks. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
The people are ruling. Allie, you're with me, right?
Listen, it was tough for me because I've got the Hollywood Bowl on this side. I've got the Grove on this side. So it wasn't
little.
Got a
lot of gunfire.
It was a lot. Well, that was last week.
Oh, sorry.
That really did happen.
Right.
So it was a lot, but wow, not on a Monday. I think it's too much on a Monday.
So have you seen Gran Torino?
I have.
You're that guy.
Is that me? Yeah. Okay.
So there should always be a day off after the 4th of July.
There should be a day off after the 4th of July.
I'd be fine with that.
Absolutely.
Just like the Super Bowl. There should be a day off after the Super Bowl.
I actually tweeted that last night, Bean. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
So we're all at it.
So can I go home then?
Let's head home is what we're
saying. Well, we're already here now. We might as well do the thing.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
If you really suck at something, you probably shouldn't do it.
Well, that's a good point. Marnie Kinry is going to be in studio.
Kinry.
Yep, says Kinry.
Sure does.
Says Kinry.
Says Kinry. Kinry.
Yeah.
Dave the King of Mexico is not a better speller than I am, basically.
No,
and
which
that's
is
not
a problem.
It's a problem because he's the main guy that we go to.
It's not ideal.
When he spells stuff correctly, then I ruin it. But when he spells it incorrectly, then what am I supposed to do?
Dave is, I don't know how to say it. He's an asshole.
Right, exactly. I see that you have a haunted house story, Allie.
Oh, sure.
Is it your place?
No, it was a place that my friend rented for a week. Yeah.
So we're going to take some calls on haunted house. Did you say totes haunted?
I did, and I regret it right after I said it.
You should have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Martin Short's going to be on the program today.
Oh, I love Martin Short so much.
How about that?
He's
That's
the best.
Huge.
From my and Marty. And we're going to check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ like we do. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Ralph at the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Wow. Oh, come on.
I mean.
Come
on. I'll take that again.
Why don't you take another week?
Really?
Yeah, I think you could use it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:53.
So we'll edit that in post.
Right.
And people won't even be able to tell the difference.
Right. That's up. Six, right? We don't go on the air till six.
Yeah. By the way, taking another week is not a bad idea because the kids seem to have already begun to prefer the Ralph and Allie and Chip show. That was the impression that I got while Kevin and Bean were on vacation.
I know. I was so happy to see that.
RAC was taken off.
It does sound like RAC is the new thing now. So I apologize to everybody who now we are spoiling your show by coming back and just ruining it.
It's okay.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
We're heading over
perfectly
to Jack.
Fine.
It's fine. Don't worry about
perfectly
it.
Fine.
You guys will be fine.
Well, thanks to all three of you guys for holding down the fort and doing such a great job. We appreciate it very much.
That fort is unwieldy, too. It just keeps trying to get away from us.
It does.
Fort was treacherous. Mother Nature kept trying to get that fort away from us,
right?
But we held it down.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, it is Tuesday morning. It's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week. What's going on?
Although it's a Tuesday, and we usually do this on a Monday, we're going to take a look at the weekend's box office because it was a long holiday weekend. And Finding Dory, once again, topped the lackluster holiday weekend, picking up $50.2 million over the four-day weekend, beating the debut of three other new movies in the process.
Wow.
Yeah. I got the impression from Kevin's social media that every 2 hours he would tweet that he had just seen another movie, like he was in some sort of marathon theater.
It wasn't like that, but I do love to go to movies, so when I have time off.
How many did you see, you think, over the break?
Maybe five.
That's a lot of movies.
In a couple of weeks?
Yeah. Isn't it? Isn't that for most people?
I love it. I don't know. I'm not most people, so.
All right, well, tell us what you like. Have you seen Finding Dory?
I have not seen Finding Dory, no. No, I never see the popular ones.
No, why?
Because I heard it was good. Why would I
see that when Conjuring 2 is out there?
I didn't see that one either, but I'm dying to.
See The Purge?
No.
What did you see?
Well, that's three of the top 10 you haven't seen. What did you go to see? Were you checking out a Laurel and Hardy marathon?
Our Kind of Traitor.
Well, that's the Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor, right?
All right.
And then four others.
No idea what you saw.
Some Mother Nature.
These are all movies you personally have seen in the last two. Why don't you tell us what you've seen in the last 2 weeks? You're the one who
Central Intelligence.
Okay.
Okay.
Saw that.
Good.
Other people saw that, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Sixth on the list.
Right. Okay.
$15 million.
That's two of your five movies. What else did you see?
But I went a second time because I took my wife to Central Intelligence because I knew she'd like it. Does that count?
I don't. A Rock movie twice.
I did. Yeah.
All right. All right. What else?
I don't remember, honestly.
Really?
I didn't know it was going to be quizzed.
It's not really a quiz if you've seen five films
to name them.
You know
it's
your
life. We're not asking you about the Declaration of Independence. We're asking what you did last Wednesday. That's what we're asking.
Who wants to be a millionaire? This isn't trivia. It's just movies you saw.
I'll go back and check.
The past 2 weeks.
I'll give you
Why do you have to go back
text?
And check?
Because
where do you go back and check, first of all, to do that? Where's that information kept?
Twitter, apparently.
Go back to your movie journal?
I feel like you should stop following me on social media. I feel like that's not good.
Apparently, someone asked you to find out what you're doing. You don't know.
God damn it.
Legend of Tarzan was second at the box office.
Nope.
$45.6 million.
No. Want to, but no.
Then Purge Election Day was third in its debut, $34.8 million. So all pretty close to number one, but none of them beat Finding Dory. The big story, however, was Spielberg's flop, the BFG, Big Friendly Giant, tanked. It cost $140 million to make. It only earned $22 million in its opening weekend.
Now, what's your take on that, Ralph? Because, you know, Spielberg's usually money in the bank.
Usually. And by all accounts, this is a charming little film. It just no one didn't catch anyone's attention. No one really apparently wanted to see this story.
I saw the trailer and I was like,
well, it's for kids, obviously. And you would think
he wasn't interested.
That's true.
I didn't say I wasn't interested. I just said,
And it's based on a best-selling kids book by an enormously popular author.
Yeah. If I was in the theater, I wouldn't walk out if it was showing that I was in there.
I have a theory, and tell me if you guys think this is crazy.
Yes.
Is that if you don't know anything about it and you just see the image of that giant, he is not appealing. He is really an ugly giant.
Plus, just the title, Big Effin' Giant? Like,
no, Big enough. Friendly Giant,
See,
Allie.
See, I don't believe that. Giant. I think that's part
effing
of the problem.
Giant. It's big
he didn't
problem.
Look warm and cuddly like somebody you automatically, if you don't know anything about the story, I think want to spend time with.
My take along those lines, Bean, is that when they try to do naturalistic CGI, it just ends up looking creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had this been a cartoon, had this been an actual like full-blown Pixar or animated project, I think it would have been a lot more attractive to kids. But uh-huh. I think that pseudo-realistic CGI where it kind of looks like a person, but you can tell it's not,
yeah.
It's just weird.
Are they getting better at it, though? Isn't it getting better?
Well, I mean, I think the technology, they made it look as real as they could.
But there's still a separation from reality to animation that
I think that's
disturbing for a lot of people. I remember when they first released that Beowulf, which was going to be sort of the groundbreaker where all the characters were CGI and they had famous people doing the voices. And I watched this, and it just looks dead in the eyes. It's just, it's a weird look when they go for that. So I think it just wasn't appealing. Anyway, one of the few times Spielberg had a box office misstep. So everyone right now is laughing and pointing because they can, because they've been waiting for Spielberg to stumble for decades. So everyone's getting their Schadenfreude on. Independence Day resurgence.
Saw that.
Of course you did. Oh, we knew that was a slam dunk.
Yeah.
We all should have guessed that.
Come on now.
We should have said, what looks worst in the top 10? Kevin probably saw it 3 times out of the 5.
That does look bad.
Oh.
Can I tell you about it? The special effects are amazing.
Sure.
Louds.
Everything else. Everything else blows.
Who could have seen that coming?
Wow,
I've never seen that down the pipe.
It's not good. Having said that, it looked pretty cool. Back to you.
So it took my wife.
I thought took her back again because I knew she wouldn't like it either.
Well, it certainly was memorable, Kevin.
So 1 second again.
That's right.
Time.
It came right to my mind.
Central Intelligence. Kevin saw that twice. That was 6th. The Shallows, Free State of Jones, Conjuring 2, and Now You See Me 2. Were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Sad news, Michael Cimino, very talented Oscar-winning film director who did the film The Deer Hunter in 1978 and the legendary disaster Heaven's Gate. It was a financial disaster for United Artists, but by all accounts, pretty good movie. I liked it, but it did almost tank United Artists.
Hmm.
He went on to make other films, Year of the Dragon, Sicilian, Desperate Hours, Sun Chaser. Passed away at the age of 77 over the weekend. And Lois Lane is gone. Noelle Neal, best known for playing Lois Lane in the 50s TV series The Adventures of Superman, passed away in Arizona on Sunday after a long illness. She was 95 years old.
Boy, she was pretty, man.
You mean in the day?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Checking.
She was
very pretty.
She was Lois Lane for a lot of us watching reruns. In the afternoons after school, and the funny thing was, she was actually a reporter in the late 30s. She wrote for Women's Wear Daily magazine, and then she got the role as Lois Lane, the world's most famous female reporter, and the rest is history. 95, not a bad run. Today's celebrity birthdays, Huey Lewis is 66, Edie Falco is 53 years old, RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan turns 47, and DJ Pauly D...
No.
Hmm. Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
Pauly D?
I feel like maybe scratch that.
Gotta scratch this one off the list.
List.
We don't need that. Nobody's got time for that.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie. Nope. Showbiz Beat.
Just taking a look at all this stuff we got to give away today. Ralph's going to have advanced screening of Ghostbusters tickets to give away on the program today. We got tickets to go see the Galaxy versus the Dynamo. We got Kevin. Got another one of those guys' night out at the bikes coming up.
Yep.
Tickets for your table on the way. What?
I'm very excited about it. That's all.
Kevin's complete look of shock when you said that.
Oh, you didn't realize that was
nothing? I'm all in.
Well, it's Friday night, so
I'm excited about it.
I'm sure you have something else booked that day.
Can't wait. No, I don't. I'm going to be playing poker.
Okay, that's good. Anyway, it is, as you can tell, it's the wheels are a little squeaky. It's our first day back from vacation. Allie, how delightful was it to have Kevin and Bean gone for the last couple of
weeks? I'm not going to lie. It was pretty nice.
So good, right?
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
You and Ralph were just partying.
Yes. So much party. We actually had a bar set up. We had a guy in here making omelets. It was how I thought
how
this job was going to be.
Why can't we have omelets?
Yeah.
Huh. No. It's a bummer.
It's no fun when the parents are home, apparently. Well, Kevin, what was the highlight of your time off?
I did a lot of stuff. I went to Las Vegas for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Went to EDC.
I did see
it was fun.
An unbelievable amount of photos of white guys standing in front of turntables.
Well, I mean, they're DJs.
Right.
Define DJs.
Just guys, just pictures of guys from a great distance standing in front of turntables.
Right. But, I mean, the music, you know, so you're excited to hear the music.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was EDC, all right.
Yeah, EDC. And then I stayed there for 4 more days and played in the World Series of Poker.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, how was that?
It's good. It was
How'd
good.
You do?
I won money. Thank you.
Wow.
That was aggressive. Okay.
I'm 3 out of 6 winning money. I didn't That's win impressive. The tournament by any stretch. I mean, not by any stretch.
Right, how many people are here. In that tournament? Like thousands?
I don't know, like a couple thousand, like 2,700 people
wow.
or something like that.
But and you have to qualify to be in that, right?
No, you just have to pay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just trying to make you better.
Thank you.
You're
yeah,
welcome.
You have to qualify. It's
sure.
a long, hard sure. process. So I played in that, and I won money.
Excellent.
And then I went to Santa Barbara for a while. I saw a lot of movies, as you
yeah.
heard.
Heard about that, yeah.
And I went to the Galaxy game last night.
All right.
So I had a good time.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Something bad happened to you at some point along the way.
Something bad? Are you telling me or asking me?
I'm asking. Well, you said something happened, so I assumed it was bad.
You did. You emailed us and said you have a personal story.
Oh!
Right. Wow.
Oh, holy yeah. Holy. Well, I didn't know we were doing that here.
Well, I thought
okay.
we had.
I have time. All right.
Okay.
So I'm seeing one of my movies.
Right.
This is bizarre. I got to tell you, I couldn't get my head around this. Seeing one of my movies, it's during the day. I like to go like 1 or 2 in the afternoon because the theater's pretty much empty.
Sure.
Go to the men's room.
Uh-oh.
And I walk in. And there's a guy at the urinal, mm-hmm. and his pants are on the ground.
Go on.
Now, Bean, what's your first take on that? Because most of the time, you don't have to take the pants all the way down if you're standing at a urinal.
Correct.
So
what could he be doing with his pants off is the question. All right.
And by the way, he could also be doing that with his pants up. So it's odd that his pants were down.
Okay.
Unless he has some sort of, assistance using the bathroom. Like he's got a bag or a tube or
okay.
something that's a little more complicated than just being able to use your zipper. Maybe he just needed a little extra... A little extra room to navigate
Maybe
down
his
there?
Junk was so big it doesn't fit through the zipper.
Well, that's what you're hoping, Allie.
Yeah.
Let me tell you the next thing that happened is I walked as far from him as
sure.
I could
yeah.
physically
uh-huh.
and started going to the bathroom. Now, as a guy, you don't really make eye contact with other guys in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really happen a lot. But I hear, there's only two of us in there,
mm-hmm.
and I hear a guy with his pants down. He's doing the trailer guy voice. Coming this Thanksgiving.
No.
Wait.
Yes,
while he's standing at the urinal
yes,
with his pants down?
Yes.
Oh.
And for some reason it was coming this Thanksgiving 2000. An all new adventure. So he's doing this now.
Now
I'm
is
thinking,
he doing this for your entertainment or does it seem to you like he's in his own little world and he's... basically talking to himself.
You tell me.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
There was only two of us in there, and he was doing that.
Did it make you want to see the movie?
Well, it was in 2000.
Oh.
So that's way too old for
sure.
me.
Sure.
But I thought, okay, maybe he forgot I came in. He's not paying attention. Whatever. He'll realize somebody else is in here,
right?
And he'll stop. Nope.
Yeah, right.
No, he didn't stop. He would restart. Coming. And then he wouldn't like that. He'd go, coming this Thanksgiving, 2000. Only in movie theaters. Coming this Thanksgiving 2000.
Now, did he sound to you like a guy who might be a voiceover actor or a guy who's on his way to an audition for a voiceover actor or something like that? Or was it just a crazy person just hearing voices in his head?
I couldn't tell. Mm-hmm. He wasn't bad. As an announcer, he wasn't bad. So then that was my next thought was, I wonder if this guy did that or does that for a living and just sort of wants some recognition? Because this is a weird place.
Maybe there's good acoustics in the bathroom.
Well, that could be. Yeah, there is.
Okay.
But what does he hope's going to happen? I'm going to take a break from peeing and give him a thumbs up? Or what exactly is he looking for?
Right. Because you're his audience at this point.
Right. I'm the only one. Coming this Thanksgiving 2000. And he kept stressing 2000. Like maybe that was the height of his career.
Aww.
I don't know. Or... is that some kind of code I'm not aware of?
Oh, I see.
And he just thought,
there is a lot of men's room etiquette that does change in the community that we may not be aware of.
Right. And he would reset the word coming in a lot in Thanksgiving 2000. And I thought, well, am I supposed to, because I'm not.
What's coming in Thanksgiving? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, that's what I was insinuating.
Okay.
Yes, I figured, you know, maybe best not to say it.
Without putting too fine a point on it.
Right.
Oh,
without just demolishing the point with a hammer.
So then I'm trying to figure, okay, is he a voice actor guy who's trying to get recognition? Is he a crazy man,
mm-hmm.
or is this code?
Mm-hmm. Right. All possibilities at this point still.
So he finishes at the urinal and walks over to the sink.
Pull his pants up?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know that for a fact because I wasn't looking.
Right.
But he goes over to the sink and I hear the sink turn on and then I hear, coming in 2000 at Thanksgiving. I was like, what the F is happening right now? Because I couldn't figure out. Like, if you're going to audition, I don't know that you do it in front of people,
mm-hmm.
right?
That is... Now, you're brimming with curiosity at this point.
Yes.
Do you say anything to him?
God, no.
Hey, what are you talking about over there?
I may have if my first sight into the restroom was not his cheeks.
Mm.
I may have breached that topic had his pants been at a regular level.
I think she about to pull something out of her pants.
But I didn't really want to engage in conversation with that guy, so... Right.
But these are your people, Kevin.
Coming Thanksgiving 2000. Coming in 2000 Thanksgiving. At Thanksgiving, coming in 2000. And he washes his hands.
Well, that's good.
And then he walks out.
That is
and
a,
I
a
have
strange
no
encounter
idea.
That will haunt you for the rest of your life.
No, I've already forgotten it. But
you, have a lot
you didn't even... You didn't even, I didn't even remember to tell you. You had to bring it up.
It's true.
I have a lot of what?
You have a lot of weird bathroom stuff. Like the guy in Vegas that was washing his.
Sure.
It's just, it's weird.
I do have some strange bathroom stuff. I'm not sure what that says about me, but this happened and he walked out and I wanted to run it by you guys to get your top three votes. So what do you think was most likely what he was saying?
I think he might have just needed a different. Medication.
Oh, I didn't even put that one out there.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Okay, so crazy needs medication. Bean?
Yeah.
I agree. I think it is more likely he's crazy, but I think both of the other possibilities you suggested are still on the table. I think, trying to audition for a voice job, maybe.
If you're auditioning for a voice job,
you
though, why
do
are you going
at
with
the ArcLight?
You do it at the ArcLight in the bathroom with your pants down, and it's always the year 2000. What?
Yeah.
What was that about? Like
that was weird.
I kept listening for a different year to see if he. Nope.
But I also think code is still a. I think code is still a possibility.
Code, okay.
You may have missed out on a real opportunity. There may be some bathroom version of the movie Popcorn Trick that we don't know about because you didn't pick up the signal.
Shoot. So I missed out.
Well, sounds like you're heading back there today.
I'm
pre-nervous about talking to the great Martin Short in about 15 minutes, by the way. I feel the same way about him that Ralph does, and I think you do too, Allie, which is just so in awe of that I don't feel like I'm worthy to speak with him.
We aren't. Let's just get that out of the way right now.
But he's always, you know, we had him on many times before. He always couldn't be any nicer. So I'm sure it'll be fine. There's no reason to be nervous, but I just am. But Martin Short joins us once again on the Kevin.
God damn it.
That's not the right button at all. That's the one I was trying to hit.
I didn't do anything.
It wasn't your fault. That was totally on me.
Right.
Look, first day back from vacation, all right? We're doing the best we can.
Rusty.
What about Harvey Levin from TMZ.com at this time when we come back for a new week? Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
How you been?
I've been working. How have you guys been?
Working as well.
Hurts.
A lot of work.
Harvey, do you hear a lot of fireworks in your neighborhood?
It's the worst time of the year for me.
It is, right?
I have two dogs, and one couldn't care less, and the other, it's the saddest thing you've ever seen, and she's so upset by this.
Mm-hmm.
And then these douchebags then decide that after the official fireworks, they just blow them off until
three
in the morning.
I hate
those people.
Kevin, you're those people.
Does anybody else exist in the world?
Do I sound like Clint Eastwood, right? Get off my lawn.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I have been accused of that for the same attitude this morning, Harvey. But here's the thing, Harvey, and you'll back me up on this. This year, worse than ever, because we all had to work the next day. Wasn't a holiday afterwards.
Yeah, usually there's a
usually
little
it's a weekend.
Buffer.
Yeah, it's a buffer day.
You know what? It was like, I hate to say this.
Having said that, we're all okay,
right? I get up super, super early every day. And when I was driving to the gym this morning, like really early, I saw a couple of people that were clearly had hangovers who were stumbling down the street, and I was just thinking, you deserve that.
All right. I'm glad we're all on the same page then. Let's talk briefly about what's up on the site. Got a lot of photos of Taylor Swift and her 4th of July beach bash. This $17 million house she has in Rhode Island, does she literally use it one weekend a year for 4th of July? Because that's the only time I ever hear about
it. Yeah, I know. You know, it's funny. I think she uses it some. I don't know how much she's there. She's in New York a lot.
Did you say it's $17 million?
Yes. Yeah,
in Rhode Island.
She paid cash for it a few years ago, and is never there.
She makes a lot of money. She makes a lot of money.
Oh, no, I get that. I'm just saying, what must you get in Rhode Island for $17 million? Okay, it must be amazing.
Think of it this way. You know, there are people who will like it, a timeshare in Palm Springs.
Right.
This is the equivalent for her of spending the money for a timeshare in Palm Springs. It's nothing for her.
Okay. Right. All right.
You know what I mean? I mean, but with the interesting thing to me is not so much that Taylor Swift has the money to buy a $17 million house, because she makes probably as much money as just about anybody out there right now. But what's interesting is all of the people that travel to Rhode Island, which is not necessarily the place you think of going, but all of the people who came to Rhode Island to be at her party. There are a lot of people.
Yeah, I would think that call, hey, 4th of July party, great. When and where? Rhode Island, busy.
Right.
I mean, no thanks.
And not that Rhode Island isn't beautiful, because it is. But still, I mean, you know, Gigi Hadid, Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively, Ruby Rose, Carly Kloss, Cara Delevingne. There were so many people there.
That's a party.
I mean, it was packed.
All right, Harvey, let me get your opinion on this. Tom Hiddleston, her new boyfriend, very, very fine actor. He shows up at the party, and you have pictures of this, wearing an I Heart TS t-shirt.
Right.
Is that a cool move, or is that pandering, or is that annoying, or are they just so in love he can't stand
it? Can I answer?
No, I want to hear what Harvey has to say. What's your read on that? Because that just struck me as so weird.
Here's my read on it. And, okay, I mean, look, it's not like I got to worry about my next job, because
you've already burned those bridges.
Hire me.
Right.
Nobody will hire me anyway. I just think it is remarkable that Tom Hiddleston went from maybe the coolest dude in Hollywood to kind of uncool in about a week.
So in other words,
it's amazing to me. It's
dating
amazing.
Her, he now is overshadowed by her fame, and he's kind of like puppy dog arm candy now, you mean?
It's not even that. It's like, you know, he goes to God, whose concert was it? Was it Selena Gomez, where they're sitting there and he's with these, you know, 20-year-old girls, and he's 35 years old, and he's these 25-year-old girls kind of dancing with him in the bleachers. And it was like, I don't know, he was almost like a Matt McConaughey cool kind of guy.
Right, right.
And all of us, that's my read on it. Maybe I'm totally wrong.
Harvey,
have you heard
the conspiracy theory that this is all a huge setup for a video that they're shooting, like a Lemonade type of video? Have you heard this theory?
I have not heard that. What I have heard is that she really wants to be a Bond girl for the next movie, and I know that. No.
Yeah.
And I know that they talk to her. They. I'm telling you,
Harvey.
Guys,
there's a type for
guys,
that, and she's
they,
not.
Guys,
they're not going to use a girl
guys,
with the body of Justin Bieber to be. Come on!
I can just tell you,
it's not going to happen.
Okay.
It isn't going to. There's no way
down,
she's a
Harvey.
Bond
I'm telling
girl.
You, they talked to her a while ago, and I have, and I have, and, you know, he's up for, he's being talked about for Bond. So I don't know whether if there's anything to this or not. But I'm telling you that there was some talk about this about 8 months, 9 months ago.
It's so funny. I agree with Kevin. The Bond thing will never happen. I hadn't heard Ali's Lemonade theory yet, but it is so funny that none of us are even suggesting that maybe they just like each other. Maybe they just met and fell in love. We figure there's got to be somebody pulling the strings on this thing, right?
Too obvious.
Yeah.
All right.
Obvious.
And I have one more follow-up question.
Okay.
Did Taylor Swift ask him or make him wear that shirt? The answer is yes.
For the video that they're shooting. They're all using the same
camera. You know
camera
what? Allie may have a point
Thank
here.
You.
I never really thought of this, but
Yeah. Thank you, Harvey. That's most people's reactions to my theories.
That's overwhelming.
All right. If you're just joining, Harvey's comment was, huh. So I think we're on to something. All right. Get your team on and look for TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. TMZ Live Monday through Friday at 4 on Fox. TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And don't forget, especially summertime when you get visitors in from out of town, be sure to get your tickets for the TMZ tour at TMZ.com. Great to talk to you again, my friend. Thanks for being on. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
Thanks, sir.
Always a thrill to have our next guest on the program. He is a Canadian and an American treasure, and you can see him every Tuesday night at 10 on NBC on the Maya and Marty Show, along with Maya Rudolph. He is Martin Short, and he is back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Mr. Short.
Thanks very much. Happy to be here.
Great to have you. You are way too big a star to be up at this hour of the day talking to chuckleheads on the radio. What's the deal? How'd you get roped into this today?
Well, first of all, I'm just getting in.
Good answer.
No, okay. No, I mean, this is just being the beginning of the night for me. No, I'm back east. I'm in my cottage in Canada.
Oh, very nice. Okay. So Maya...
It's a fashionable 9:38 here.
Nothing wrong with that. All right. Maya and Marty, my understanding was when it started was a limited edition series. There were only going to be a certain number of episodes. Is that still where we're at?
Yeah. No, we just did six.
You just did six, and we're already up to number five.
That's correct.
Now that makes me sad. Get back in there and make some more, son.
He's in his cottage.
I think it's hip to do a smaller number, and you know, we could do more. We could do more, and it could pop up somewhere. But that was always the plan.
It looks
six
like
on, six off.
It looks like such a blast for a guy like you.
So ridiculously,
because you're an improv guy, you're a song and dance guy, you love all of the things that you get to do on this show. It just must be a dream gig.
It is. And you know, we've had, like, amazing guests throughout the season. Like, tonight is Jerry Seinfeld and Will Forte and Amy Poehler. So, you know, you're also hanging with the best people who do that stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's like, does it remind you of way back in the 80s when you did the Saturday Night Live? When, I mean, that's what you're doing every week, basically.
It is like doing Saturday Night Live. It's like you're the host every week. So it's kind of insane. But then you get into this odd rhythm. And then, you know, I do a Jiminy Glick each week. So
yeah, you do.
Oh, we love that so much. Yeah. Still, I could watch that all day, every day.
Seinfeld tonight.
Right. Sorry, I was talking while you were talking.
No, I was saying tonight is Seinfeld. So you also do that through the week. But it's a busy week. And then, but, you know, you kind of, anything that you know, it's like making a movie. You can... You know it's going to be insane for a couple of months, and then it's not. It's not like you're doing it, you know, 22 episodes.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Now, is when you guys are putting this show together, is Jiminy something that you volunteer, hey, I'll do that again? Or is it something they said to you, oh, please, Martin,
no,
if you bring back Jiminy?
No, I thought, not. Well, we can't. I don't want, you know, should we do, this is like when we're discussing it.
Mm-hmm.
February. Do you do old characters? Do you do young? I don't, is everything new and... I said, maybe, you know, if I did Jiminy Glick, maybe, you know, you could do it once or something. And Lorne Michaels kind of said, yeah, that's right. We don't want Dame Edna to show up doing what she actually does. So Robin kind of went, yeah, okay, that's right. That's true. Yeah, he said, by all means, let's not play to our strengths.
That's why Lorne is the TV legend that he is.
That's why Lorne's Lorne. It's true.
I love.
Well, how many should we do? He said six.
I love the difference in reaction. Like, I assume by time people get in front of Jiminy, they know the bit, okay? But it's so funny to see somebody like Ricky Gervais, who just is hysterically laughing right out of the gate because he loves the character so much. And then on the other side, either Drake was playing it cool or he had no idea what was going on. And I love seeing what...
No. They, you know what? The reality is they all know. They all know. And they all make a choice. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do a Jiminy Glick interview like making a movie. You know, we'll tape for anything from... We'll film for maybe 25 minutes.
Wow.
And then you edit it down to make it look like it's 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, with Ricky, I talked to him in England. He kept saying, you know, I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to get in the way. And I said, no, you have to get in the way. That's what's fun. And so at first he laughed, and then we did it for a while. Then he broke. Then he went very far. He was hilarious. But Drake, you know, I talked to them before, and he kind of said, you know, he was playing it like, I said, just play it like you have to be interviewed by a moron.
Which is how you're doing this interview now, right, Martin?
Exactly. Oh, no, I know from what I speak. And then we finished one round, and I said, now, do you want to, like, should we do another pass where you walk off or something? He said, no, I just want to be a nice Canadian guy.
This is the voice of Martin Short here at the Kevin Beach. We're talking about Maya and Marty, which airs again tonight at 10 on NBC. There have been a lot of attempts over the years to bring the variety show back. And I'm happy to see it on and doing as well as it is for NBC. Why do you think this kind of show is not as in fashion as it once was, Martin?
Well, I think it becomes, you know, a different form. I mean, you look at sitcom, it started off live like I Love Lucy, but then by the 60s it was all one camera. And so I think that these forms just take different forms. I mean, a variety is still wildly popular. It populates most of what we see in primetime. It's just not called variety. America's Got Talent is the old Ed Sullivan show.
Mm-hmm.
The Voice. These are singers. These are performers. These are, and that's what basically variety is, a variety of acts presented. I think that what there hasn't been for a while is a host or host, two hosts to lead that throughout, you know, the hour.
Right.
I think the assumption that Jimmy Fallon does an hour variety show, he's not doing Charlie Rose, he's doing a variety show.
Yeah, I guess that's right. I really didn't think about that, the late night guys.
Kimmel has sketches and bits and pieces and musical numbers, and that's kind of what it is. It's just in the form of a different thing, you know.
Right, exactly. And I do want to mention before we go that the tribute piece that you guys participated in and helped put together for Orlando last week, where you had dozens of Broadway stars.
Phenomenal.
Wasn't it, Allie?
It was so beautiful? Touching and beautiful and unexpected, which is sad that it was unexpected, but it was perfect.
And I was wondering for you guys to pivot like that, and you're doing a fun, hilarious show, and then all of a sudden you've really got a turn. Was that a tough transition on the program?
No, I mean, it was, you know, it's so horrific what happened there, and it's so, as we all know, wherever you stand politically, it is so horrific to think that nothing ever changes or gets altered. And so, you know, a group like the Broadway community says, well, what can we do? At least we can raise funds. So you feel a little empowered by doing something, even though nothing will change in the laws of guns or
whether
you know, who gets to fly in a plane. It always will stay the same until things change.
That star power, though, was incredible, to see all those people showing up for that.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. The hang was great. Just, you know, like setting up and seeing people arrive and people I hadn't, you know, I've done four Broadway shows or five, so seeing just people that I hadn't seen for a while, and then we were all there for that great reason.
Right. All right, last question for the great Martin Short here on the Kevin Bean Show, and that is it true that you do not have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
That is true.
That's outrageous. What does a brother have to do?
He has to give the whoever you give that $20,000 to.
Yeah, I think it's 30 now.
That works.
But what about all your
the names? You can't tell me it's based on fame.
What about all your big money backers, though, for TV and movies and plays and everything else you've done? Isn't there anybody who's ever come to you and said, "Hey, we want to put you forward for this honor"? Because no one deserves it more than you do, Martin.
Well, thank you very much. No, they haven't. But you know, I also don't tweet. I mean, there's a lot of parts of being famous that don't intrigue me as much as others.
Gotcha. You'll be fine without that patch of real estate on the sidewalk.
I hope so.
Maya and Marty is the show with the great Maya Rudolph and Martin Short. That's going to be tonight and every Tuesday night, at least for 2 more weeks, at 10 on NBC. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
America's Got Talent.
Right? Well, well said. Thanks for coming on, sir.
Thank you so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
So banjos are still a thing? We're still doing that?
Yep.
All right. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Our friend Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Get that weak stuff out of here.
Right?
Did you miss it?
Our salute to Maz last week.
It's the best.
God, we had a good time with him.
I don't even know who Maz is.
He's our new Laker.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I do know who he is.
And he's the best
commercial pitch man in the business.
Yeah, you're going to want him for pretty much anything.
I want him to do a commercial for our show.
Oh.
Kevin and Bean Show, get this weak stuff out of here, we could say about our show, because it's always weak. Give me a little Moz, will you?
Get this weak stuff out of here.
There we go. Get this weak stuff out of here.
And he can't look at the camera?
I mean, Brew Cafe. Fabulous food. Great people. Get this weak stuff out of here.
Get this weak stuff out of here. I'm hungry for the Brew Garden. Fabulous food, fine spirits, fantastic people. My home away from home, the Brew Garden.
Yes!
Wow.
More
and
commercials.
Kevin, keep
and
in
then
mind
somebody
his
went,
eyes.
Done.
Yeah.
Well,
his eyes
was, just going everywhere.
That was the 400th take, yeah. I guarantee you.
Yeah, his eyes are darting everywhere, like looking around.
He's the Kevin
so
Ryder
good.
Of the NBA, I promise you. I promise you, they were there for 4 days to film that 15-second spot.
I know we're going to talk about this later, Ralph, but you were following the news pretty closely last week. Why did he leave the world champion Cleveland Cavaliers?
He wasn't playing, I think.
He played like 27 minutes last season or something.
They weren't really using him.
But why? Is he not good?
He's not great.
All right. And he's the.
I
he's
think
who
he
the...
is great, Allie. I think you're missing.
Oh, okay.
I'm
forgetting apologize.
About the Brew Garden.
He wouldn't block a shot and say,
get this weak stuff out of here.
Get this weak stuff out of here. I must break you.
Fantastic.
And welcome to L.A., Moz. We're happy to have you. Speaking of Los Angeles, this Saturday night at the Improv in Los Angeles, Kevin Smith and I are once again returning with Hollywood Babylon to the Improv on Melrose. We'd love to see you come out and join us.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
There's no weak stuff in that show. My home away from home, the Improv on Melrose, fabulous food, great people. Come see Hollywood Babylon. There's no weak stuff in there. Smith and I, it's been a couple weeks, so Smith and I are antsy to get back on the stage there at the Improv and do Babylon. So come on out and see us Saturday night for a change. A lot of people are bitching and moaning that they can't make it on Friday. So here's your chance. Go to improv.com for more details and to get your tickets. Love to see you join myself and Mr. Smith. He's been all over the world lately. He's been Paris and Scotland.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's he running from?
The law.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. All that drugs. All that. Really? All them drugs.
All them weeds.
All them weeds. It's Tuesday, but we're going to take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office anyway because of the long holiday weekend. Lackluster numbers. A lot of people doing other stuff, I think, on the 4th of July weekend. But Finding Dory still number one, third week in a row. $50.2 million made it number one.
I hear it's very good.
I heard it's very good as well. Legends of Tarzan debuted to $45.6 million.
Purge. I hear that is terrible.
I heard it's kind of ponderous. Yeah. Purge, Election Day, debuted with $34.8 million. The BFG, Big Friendly Giant, debuted just at $22 million. First Spielberg big-budget misstep in some time. Independence Day, Resurgence was fifth, then Central Intelligence that Kevin saw twice. Everyone keep that in mind. The Shallows, Free State of Jones, Conjuring 2, and Now You See Me 2 were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Dame Judi Dench. She got her first tattoo for her 81st birthday. So.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
No, she's not weak stuff at all. She's strong.
She's a bitch.
She's not. She's Dame Judi Dench. She's a British treasure.
Wait, she's how old?
81.
And her first tattoo.
Got it.
Okay.
Carpe diem on her wrist.
Mm.
She don't have many diems left to carpe at 81.
She does not.
I don't know if that's the time to get back.
Carpe like a crazy person.
She better like carpe minutes instead of carpe diems.
My God.
It's a
just
whole
saying,
different tattoo.
81.
It's really long.
I guess it would be. So congratulations there. Speaking of congratulations, Katy Perry. Congratulations. She is the number one most followed person on Twitter.
Wow, that is quite the achievement.
Well, you wait till you hear the numbers. What do you think, Allie? Give me a guess. She racked up.
I'd say 50 million.
50 million. Ha! Fiff! Fiff!
Get that weak stuff out of here.
Get that weak stuff out of here. Barack Obama has 75.8 million followers.
Okay.
Wow.
120.
90. 90 okay. million followers on Twitter makes her number one. Bieber is second with 83 million. Third place is Taylor Swift, who has 79.1 million followers.
to her account. So, Katy Perry, most followed. Who could have guessed? Right. I heard you guys talking to Harvey about Taylor Swift and Hiddleston.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hiddle Swift, right, as they're calling it. We had a conversation while you guys are gone. Maybe we should talk about this and open the phone lines sometime this week. I think much less of Tom Hiddleston now that if he's dating Taylor Swift.
Agreed.
I loved him. Huge fan. Thought he was cool, talented, low-key, night manager. Just couldn't get enough of the guy. Wanted him to be Bond. Now I got nothing.
And I thought you were crazy for that. I was like, come on. He's just dating her. Until I saw the shirt and the tattoo with the T, I was like, oh, enough, Tom.
Unless
now
it's
I'm
a
on
big,
Team Ralph.
Unless it's a big scam like you were saying.
Which I believe it is.
Which could be. And that, in that case, then I'm back on board. But I thought it's funny that there are so many Hollywood relationships that cause me to change my opinion or one or both of the people when they get together. It's like Chris Martin got infinitely more attractive to me once he broke up with Gwyneth Paltrow. I was like, what? He's the best now. I love him. He's better than he ever was. It's amazing how people going in and out of relationships can change my opinion of that person.
It really is, because it doesn't make him less of an actor. It
doesn't make him less of anything that he was the minute before he started dating her. But still,
well, because
now
you
he's
have a,
awful.
Now you have a different opinion. You have a different opinion of his girlfriend than he does. All of a sudden, you don't like him.
Right. I found out he's, right. I found out he's a member of the Nazi party. That's what happened.
Well,
that's
I don't
like,
know.
I don't we're feel like that's
go that far.
Exactly
I don't think that's exactly
the same.
I don't,
same.
Feel like it. It may be an overstatement.
Yeah, it's an understatement, if it's anything.
We're all just people.
No. We're
what do you think about Taylor Swift being a Bond girl?
I said while you guys were gone, she should be a Bond villain. She'd be a Bond villain sitting with a cat on her lap. Oh, my God, Mr. Bond. I can't believe you broke into my fortress. I'm so surprised. How did you get in here? I have so many minions. I have so many henchmen. Oh, my God.
I like that you continued petting the fake cat.
Sure, of course. You've got to keep it. Sure. You've got to commit, Allie. You know that. And congratulations to Jaws. Joey Chestnut. Boom. Bringing it back. Strong.
Is that the hot dog?
Yeah, it
guy?
Is.
All right.
At the 100th Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest on Coney Island yesterday. Congratulations. He took the title back from Matt Stoney, of course. Crushed him. 70 hot dogs in 10 minutes yesterday.
You know, I came out here, I knew what I had to do. And it's 4th of July. I was just having fun eating hot dogs.
Ugh, so gross.
70 with buns in 10 minutes.
Imagine that.
No.
Yummy.
No reversal.
So who watches that? That's my question. Who sits
who
down?
Who doesn't watch it?
You watch it?
Oh, my God.
You're
kidding me?
Liar. You are a
you don't watch
liar.
It.
I thought Cameron Dallas was going to pull out there when he was like at number 41, 42. He's got a good pace. But boom.
You're a liar.
Joey just hit the pedal,
nope.
man. Just put the
nope.
pedal to the metal.
No.
Nope. Boom.
Just,
Matt Stoney, 53 francs.
You're
this
just
will surprise
you. That week's the out of here.
Yes, you saw it, Bean. We know. You watched
it. No, I didn't. I don't. Are you kidding? I hate it. Hate it. Muggs, though, loves it.
Oh, sure. Those are his people.
Yeah, you know, it's aspirational for Muggs.
He's a competitive eater as well.
Right, exactly.
Yummy.
Yummy indeed.
How many, I mean, seriously, Kevin, how many hot dogs could you eat in 10 minutes? Three, maybe?
I
with buns?
Have
three?
Never tried. Yeah, maybe.
How drunk is he?
I mean, I'm just
how
thinking
much
about
Ambien
it.
Has he had?
But 70 is just
yeah, that's
superhuman. It's hard to even imagine how you could do that.
Yeah, even if you could get 3, 5, let's say you could get 10, still you're nowhere in the ballpark.
Right,
but it's 10
right.
minutes, yep, too. That's the
I know
part
that's
that confuses me. I could maybe do 70 all day.
I don't even think
no,
I could do that.
You could
you
not.
Started, if no. I started at dawn,
no.
I could jam the last dog in around midnight, I
wow.
think, for 70.
Yeah?
70, yeah. 10 minutes.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
10 minutes. Get that least stuff out of here, I'd say to those hot dogs. Before I get to celebrity birthdays, Kevin is surprised to find out he's playing poker this weekend.
I am not. I'm very excited about it.
Kevin's playing poker at K-Rock's Guys Night out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. It's going to be a fun event. You get to play poker at Kevin's table right now. If you want to play with Kevin, and you got a shot at beating him because he has no idea he's playing. Awesome.
You'll definitely be there before
Wait.
He will.
I'm not that. I just don't even know that I'm
and
there.
Sit down and say, what is this game? I don't even know. What are these little square pictures of queens and stuff? You get a rack of chips worth $200. It's Friday, 8 p.m. at the bike. Why don't you give us a call right now? You have to be 21 years of age or older. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Caller number, let's say, 8, since it's 8 p.m. this Friday night. Why don't you be caller number 8, and you will get to play at Kevin's table at K-Rock's Guys Night Out. There.
But know what you're doing, or I'm going to say...
Get his weak stock out of here.
Right. Throw chips in your face. You can also RSVP if you don't win at thebike.com. You can get all the details and get a slot in the tournament there if you don't win. Today's celebrity birthdays... RZA from Wu-Tang Clan, 47 years old today. Edie Falco, of course, from The Sopranos. Nurse Jackie, she's 53. And Huey Lewis of the News.
Don't need money. Don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride this train. It's strong and it's sudden and it's cool sometimes. But it might just save your life. That's the power of love.
Yeah, it is. Power Lewis right there.
Yeah.
He's 66 years old. I think Jimmy Kimmel has a big party today.
Jimmy Kimmel loved him, loves him so much.
Yeah. They go like fishing trips together and stuff.
It's
a weird broke mountain bareback situation there.
Nailed it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let me tell you about the coolest thing in the world, and that is 21 Pilots playing at your house. 21 Pilots at your house.
You are all going to die tonight.
Nope, it's not that. It is called the K-Rock Home Invasion, though, so I can understand why you would be maybe confused by that. But here's the deal is we have a brand new 2016 K-Rock Summer sticker at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. You pick up your sticker, go to K-Rock.com, you put in the password on the back of the sticker, and then you are entered to win the 21 Pilots show at your house and a new car. Talk about a 2016 Honda Civic. Get all the details at krock.com and be sure to stop by a SoCal Hot Topic location near you for your sticker.
I feel like that's too much for...
It's a lot.
Like,
a lot.
We're not asking them to do that much.
Yeah, right. Fill out a form.
Right. And then we're just heaping gifts on
them.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Too much.
You people are spoiled.
All right. It is Tuesday morning. We do have a lot of great stuff coming up on the program, including the Wing Girl is going to be back. Marnie Kinross, who we've had on before, is going to help us talk to ladies. And boy, do I need that. But first.
Well, not you so much, because I feel like maybe you shouldn't talk to girls. But anyone else. Mm-hmm.
But first, Allie McKay.
Bean.
You had a little bit of a girls' weekend last weekend?
Yeah, it was supposed to be a girls' week.
Mm-hmm.
I wound up leaving.
Were you voted out?
No. Here's the thing. So
you didn't get the rose?
No. My friend rented a place up in Montecito. Steps from the beach. It had a pool. It was perfection.
Okay.
They show up Friday night. I'm showing up Saturday. So I knew I wasn't going to get the best room, whatever. But who cares?
Mm-hmm.
I get up there, and they're in the pool, and they said, hey, why don't you take the room upstairs? It's got its own bedroom. It's the best room in the house if you want it. And my initial thought was, I have such good friends. That is so
really?
Sweet.
Really? Because my initial thought would have been,
what's wrong with it? Something's wrong with this room.
Right.
And they're horrible liars. So I said, what's wrong with the room? And they're like, oh, by the way, this whole house is haunted. And I said, come on. And they said, no, we are hearing things at night. They had been there one night, and they said they heard footsteps. And not just footsteps, but loud, deliberate steps, to the point where my friend Bonnie texted Michelle in the other bedroom and said, why are you upstairs? What are you doing? And Michelle was like, I'm not upstairs, and I was wondering what you were doing up there. Horrible.
Was anyone up there?
No one was up there.
Why?
So
why did no one take the upstairs bedroom to begin with?
Because there's three bedrooms downstairs and the one upstairs, it just felt kind of removed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But let me get some clarification.
Yes.
So when you say heavy, deliberate footsteps, in other words, what you're saying is it's not some noise that you could sort of hear that might have been footsteps.
Right.
It was 100%. It could be nothing else but footsteps.
Absolutely. So then I get there, and we have a nice day, whatever. We go out. We wind up coming back, and I walk into my room, and my bags are no longer on my bed. They are moved to the other side of the room and closed up.
Okay.
And I'm like, you guys, what is happening?
Wait, and so you went in and dropped your bags in a certain spot in the bedroom.
Yes.
And then came back later, and they had been moved.
Completely moved.
And who moved them?
That's my question.
But you went down and asked somebody. You asked everybody.
Well, everyone came into the room, and like we all got goosebumps. We got super nervous. It was bizarre. And then, the next day was the worst.
Okay, hold on a sec. Yes. I'm sorry. I need to interrupt. Before you move on to the next day.
Yeah.
let's concentrate on this moving luggage.
Right? It's a strong ghost.
My question is, your friends already had told you the place was haunted.
Yes.
They already sent you to the bedroom of death.
No, 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 no. I never took it. I was now in the downstairs bedroom. Oh, I would not go upstairs.
So no one was
upstairs.
So wait a minute. So your room was downstairs and your luggage was moved.
Yes.
And none of them did it.
No, we were all out together.
You don't think that one of them said, hey, we already have her scared by telling her about the haunting. I'm going to go pretend to go in to use the bathroom. I'm going to run and just move her stuff in her room so that it terrifies her even
that
more.
That would be Michelle, but it wasn't. Because she was legitimately freaked out.
So you then, don't think they were playing?
No, absolutely not. Right. And then the next day, we're sitting at the pool, and I glance up at the house, and there's now a light on upstairs.
And no one's up there.
No one's up there. So then we're thinking, okay, it's on a timer or something. We all go in together and we realize, no, no, that's just on a switch in the hallway. So Bonnie downloads an EMF machine where you could like look around and see if there's any weird ghosty shadows.
Wait, what? Wait, hold on. What?
Yeah.
You just lost me.
Yeah. So she downloads it on her phone and it's an app.
Okay.
So we're looking all around the backyard, nothing, until we get over to the area of the house where that light was on. And there's a weird figure doing this. You can't see it listening in your car at home, but it's doing a ghosty thing. We freak out. And then a voice comes on the speaker across the freaking yard and goes, Yes.
I'm sorry, what was the sound?
Your lady went on pretty thick.
Here's the way. And we scream, we freak out. Turns out it was just the EMF machine had a sound in it that then came through the speaker. But let me tell you, that was
terrifying. You guys are no Ghostbusters, I'll tell you that.
We were so freaked out at that point because why would that light go on out of nowhere? Hadn't been on for 2-3 days. The place was haunted. We then heard scratching. We heard more walking and then knocking on doors while we slept.
Miss Allie McKay.
Yes, Bean.
Is the reason you didn't stay all week seriously because you thought the house was haunted?
I was not sleeping well.
And did the other three people high five and say, we didn't think that would work? And then they had a great week.
That is just me. No, Michelle was updating her Twitter with what was happening with the ghost.
Okay.
But it was scary.
Okay. All right, fine. Got it.
Did you have any opinion about ghosts either way ahead of that weekend?
Oh, sure.
So you were already a believer?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
Last question for the witness. In your mind, is there any other possible explanation for any of the things you've described than the supernatural?
No.
All right. Apparently the K-Rock microphones were there.
Okay.
Go ahead, Allie. Yes.
I do feel, honestly, that something was happening. I also think maybe we were whipped into a little frenzy, so then we started paying super attention to it, where some things might have gone by the wayside, but we were so now in tune with Ghosty Ghost.
Were you?
Yeah.
Hi.
Maybe. Yes.
All right. Well, you can explain some of that stuff. Old houses, noises, got it. Lights sometimes just come on, got it. The luggage moving, if nobody did it, I don't have another explanation for it. I just don't.
Yeah, we have actually posted the video of when we came home, decided that our bags had been moved, and Michelle decided that she was going to trap the ghost, which we then believed was living in the closet. So there's video of my friend Michelle
friends are insane.
A little bit.
Kevin, what's your read on this, Kevin?
My read is somebody's playing a joke on her. Everything else you can explain away except for the luggage. I feel like the light, the sounds.
Right. That's what I'm saying, is that somebody may have put it in her head and then said, you know, because they were all plotting before you got there.
Right.
Hey, let's screw with Allie.
And how do we keep her stay here short? And how do we stay the rest of the week?
Well, that's upsetting.
I think that's what they were doing.
Huh.
All right. Well, now it's your turn. So we're looking for similar stories from our listeners, right?
Yeah, but it's don't call with.
Hold, please.
Get his weak stuff out of here.
Don't call with that stuff. Don't call with, hey, I heard a noise, and that's what I think it was.
It needs to be something that there's no other earthly explanation for. It had to be the spirit world, and you'll accept nothing else.
Correct.
That's what we're looking for. All right. 1-800-520-1067, because it is Halloween time. We are taking your ghost stories right now. Or you can text your story, like always, to the number 2KROQ. But we'd love your calls, too. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you right after this on K-Rock. So our little gullible friend, Allie McKay, was telling us a story about ghosts at the vacation home that she was at over the weekend last weekend. And you're used to being ghosted by a dude after, like, a date.
Yeah.
You're used to that kind of ghosting.
Sure.
You're not used to the kind. Just very briefly, before we go to Jennifer's call in line two, very briefly, run down the three things that happened when you were there that made you convinced your house was haunted.
Walking, like, deliberate steps that you could hear.
Okay, we have time.
Really?
We don't have time for all of those.
Old-time hockey game? What was that? Bags actually moved from the bed to another area while we were out. They were just moved.
Okay.
Knocking on the door.
All right.
Scratching on what? Yeah, scratching was weird. Lights on when we didn't put a light on while we were outside in the backyard during the day.
Mm-hmm. These are the classics, man.
Yes. And then I didn't mention this, but in the video that we posted on K-Rock and Kevin and Bean, there was this closet in my room that we thought, okay, this is a creepy closet. Opened it, and there was a rocking chair with a creepy doll in it.
Okay,
why?
See, that to me says someone's messing with you.
Did my friends decide to bring a rocking chair and a doll?
But if I was going to try and mess with somebody that I knew was gullible, a rocking chair and a creepy doll is perfect.
My friends were as freaked out, if not more, than me.
Your friends are good actors and actresses.
Wow.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
Okay. Right, exactly, Maz. Okay. Let's go to Tustin, please, line two. Let's bring Jennifer into the conversation. She is also convinced that she has seen a ghost.
All right, Jennifer, hi.
Hello.
What do you think happened with Allie's story first?
I definitely wouldn't have stayed.
Okay. All right. Good enough.
But you're buying it. It sounds like the place was haunted to you.
For sure.
Okay.
Okay. All right. What happened to you?
We rented on one of those VRBO sites.
Right.
A lake house. And the owner said, you know, the master bedroom on the top floor, the window makes noise. Well, yeah, right. The window makes noise. The doors open and close. When we slept in the room, the sheets went flying off of us.
Well, now wait. Now hold it right there. The sheets, while you were sleeping, were yanked off of you.
Like someone pulled the sheets off you, Jennifer.
Yes. Pulled the sheets off of us. Not just that. Pulled my arm up into the air.
God.
And I thought, the first time I thought, okay, I must be drunk. Something's happening.
Right.
No. It happened a second time, and I thought, I'm going to sleep downstairs. There's like six bedrooms. Nothing happened in any other.
What does it take to get you to get out of a house? I'm not just changing rooms if somebody pulls off my sheets.
See, and it was the upstairs room of the house we rented.
Oh,
yes.
Right. Ghosts only live upstairs?
Right. I think they might only live upstairs.
We're learning a little something here today.
All right, I have to ask because I know listeners are hearing your story, Jennifer, and they're wondering. It's not possible at all that there was a window open and it was just the wind that blew your sheets off.
My arm, I'd like to think I'm that skinny that air would just throw my arm in the air. But
okay, all right.
All right,
so Jennifer is a believer.
It gets worse. It gets worse.
Did you have ghost sex?
No, I Googled the property because I thought, somebody else has had to have this experience. The daughter of the owner and her son were brutally murdered.
Okay. Yes. All right.
Oh, man.
No. You sound insane.
No,
do you realize that?
Doesn't.
You should be medicated.
No.
The whole story is on the internet if you Google it. They were brutally murdered in an abandoned, like, military hangar or underground thing.
Wait, so they weren't – I thought when you said they were murdered in that house. That's where
no,
the
No, but within
thing.
About a mile radius.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. Oof. An underground thing. That makes it all clear. All right, listen. We were doing great right up until that point. Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate the call so much. You're awesome. All right. Let's try Chelsea real quick. She's in Reseda. She's up next. She's on line 4, and she joins us for Ghost Talk on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Chelsea.
Hi.
So you saw a ghost.
So I have a little cousin who, at 3 years old, would give these elaborate stories about her imaginary friends that traveled in covered wagons and churned butter, wore bonnets, and like to sing by the campfire. These are all things that three-year-olds do not make up.
Yeah, three-year-old isn't really conversant in bonnets and churning butter. That is true.
Three-year-old Bean was.
Yeah.
Wow. So where was she seeing all these ghosts?
Oh, she was describing these imaginary friends that would come and play with her. And one time she even said, look, my friend is in the rocking chair right now. I look over, and the rocking chair just starts going by itself.
Okay.
We're all going to die tonight.
Well, maybe so. Maybe so.
Wow. Okay.
So was this a place where you guys lived?
It is where she lived, but this seemed to, she's about 7 years old now, her imaginary friends seem to follow her.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
So what do you make of that? I mean, is there any other explanation you can think of other than supernatural?
At 3 years old, she did not watch the History Channel. She knew nothing about covered wagons or churning butter. Because the only thing she watched was kids' shows.
Right.
There was no way to explain it. Her mother, to this day, we can't figure it out. She would just give these elaborate stories. You know, normally if someone has an imaginary friend, they like the color purple. But she's given us their life story.
Yeah. Right.
Gotcha. At any point, do you think the daughter and the mom high-fived each other and said, we didn't think that would work?
That's what they did with Allie. That's not what they did here. That's a different situation. All right, Chelsea, thank you for the call. So I don't know how to feel about that.
Well, let's go to line 3 real quick, because Rich can send in a photo, right? Rich, hi.
Yes, I have a photo. This just happened yesterday.
Yesterday.
So we're at my cousin's house, and we're lighting fireworks. And everybody was outside of the house, right? And we're watching the fireworks, and my cousin takes a photo, a selfie of her and her two little girls. And in the doorway by the house, there was somebody standing there. And we were like, what was that? And it so happens that my cousin, right behind her house, is a cemetery.
Okay. Yes. Now, the thing I will say about photographs is we all know that the light plays tricks on you. There's a lot of angles and a lot of flashes and a lot of things that show up in pictures that you wouldn't see in real life. It doesn't always mean it's a ghost, but you think this looked enough like an actual person that it was a ghost?
Yeah, and my wife just posted the picture on what? On Twitter. To Kevin and Allie.
Okay.
So you guys can see it.
That's a straight-up dude. Back there.
Right.
That's not like a kind of, what am I trying to say?
A ghost looking thing.
No,
it's a guy.
That's a man. That's a
But Rich, isn't it possible that a guy heard fireworks, saw fireworks, and just came over and wanted to watch?
Right. Yeah, standing by the doorway with no face. Okay, that's cool.
All right. Retweet that real quick, Allie, so I can take a look at that.
I didn't see the no face part.
There is no face.
Okay.
He's in kind of a red shirt and dark pants. He has like a long, weird shaped face with no features on it. Oh, God. Oh, no. I'm nervous for the family. Get out of there.
It's like Christmas morning. This video, you guys. Kevin, you haven't seen it yet?
I have not, no.
Ralph, you've seen the video, right? You've seen the Roddy video.
Yes, I have. I've loved it.
Amazing.
It's the greatest thing that's ever been put on film.
It's the greatest
or
thing.
Or videotape or however they made this thing.
So, Rodney
Flash
Bingenheimer.
Cards, I don't know how they did it, but it's magic.
Legendary K-Rock DJ since the 70s, I think, maybe. He's been here, early 80s, something like that. He's been here forever doing the Sunday Night New Music Show. And he does a video for a band that I'm unfortunately not familiar with called Them Guns. And they have a song called Muffins.
Sure.
So, the concept of the video is that Rodney is going to go to Cantor's and get a muffin. So
okay.
It's like his holy grail is
He's not going to get a muffin. He needs a muffin.
I got to get me a muffin. So the video is just his journey of him and his very young car mates, and they're going to Canner's, and they're ordering a muffin. And then all these things, Kevin, get in his way where he can't get to his muffin. Like, every time he's so close to biting into that delicious golden muffin.
What? Oh, what a bummer that must have been.
This is the hard day's night of muffin movies.
It's
a rollicking adventure about rock and roll and trying to have a muffin. It really is. It's a tour de force.
Now, Dave, our producer, is this video out right now someplace where everybody can go and see it if they want to? Is it available?
KRock.com.
KRock.com. All right. So it's them guns, it's muffins, and the video opens with Rodney in one of his beater cars, and it opens with an establishing shot of Rodney walking from a building to a car, and it takes him 40 seconds to get to the car. I'm not lying.
Gets the door open of the car. I was surprised that happened. I thought he was going to need a complex lever and pulley system.
Jaws of life.
Yeah. He is able, because Rodney weighs, God bless him, but he weighs like 70 pounds. So you should see him pulling the door open to get into the car. And he's getting ready, and he wants to go get a muffin. But then this attractive young lady comes up and wants to get in the car with him and go with the canner. So I think we have some of the video here.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Canner's to get a muffin.
But you hate muffins.
I just feel like having a muffin.
Okay. Can I have a ride?
Definitely. Come on. Get in.
Now, do you think this was tightly scripted, or do you think maybe perhaps some of this was improvised? This video? I can't tell.
Well, I
did. It reads like Mammoth. It kind of feels like an Aaron Sorkin project, but
I feel like they gave him a rough sketch, but he's working through it on his own.
Now, you hate muffins ordinarily, right?
Right.
But in this particular case, you can't wait to get a muffin.
Right, exactly.
Why would I do that? Just do it, Rodney!
I also feel like it was all shot in one take, too. I feel both of those things are true. All right, so he's in the car with the lady, and now they're going to Canner's because Rodney really wants to have a muffin for some reason that's unexplained, except I guess the name of the song is Muffins that he's doing the video for.
Right.
And then I'm not sure what happens next. Next year.
Yeah, I'm really craving a muffin.
Why do you want a muffin so bad?
Because Dr. Oz said you can eat blueberries.
Because Dr. Oz said you can eat blueberries.
Oh.
What? Wait. I'm assuming the line was Dr. Oz said you should eat blueberries because of their antioxidant properties.
Okay, so it's written then. Now we know it's written. Yeah. He wasn't just riffing that Dr. Oz line.
Sure. Rodney's like, I'm not going to try to say that antioxidant word. All right, so he's concerned for his health then.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
I want to try for a real blueberry. Yeah.
What about a banana chocolate chip muffin?
That'd be amazing.
Amazing.
Why is the microphone like four cars over?
Beer mug shooting.
It's cinema verite, Kevin. You don't know, man.
What?
I don't know. It's avant-garde cinema.
All right, so he really wants a muffin because Dr. Oz says...
Dr. Oz said I can eat blueberries.
All right.
That'd be amazing.
So,
everyone knows the best, most healthful way to get blueberries, by the way, is in a muffin.
That's true.
That's right. It's the healthiest way to go.
98% muffin, 2% blueberries.
At some point on the journey, early on, Rodney pulls over, and then another impossibly attractive young woman jumps into the car because Rodney rolls deep.
Sure.
And so he's heading over to Canner's, driving along, and the band... And them guns pulls up next to him in the lane. And were you stunned that Rodney was able to pull this stunt off, Ralph?
What stunt?
The guy in the passenger seat in the them guns car is able to hand the CD out the window, and Rodney is able to grab it while he's driving.
Yeah.
It's like Fast and the Furious up in there.
Rodney starts ghost driving the whip.
It was just crazy to me. I mean,
I feel like Rodney couldn't reach his arm as far as the window.
I was shocked.
Them guns does most of the reaching, right. Frankly. But he does. He's able to receive the CD.
I see.
So I'm not sure where we are in this next clip, but eventually at some point they do get to Canner's and Rodney does attempt to order the treasured muffin.
Calm down,
Rodney. I'll get your muffin.
Hey,
how are
you
today?
Pretty good.
You gonna have the usual?
No, I'm gonna have a muffin.
You're gonna have a muffin?
Yeah, maybe a blueberry or a cranberry.
Wow, can you believe it?
I can't.
I'm gonna get this muffin for Rodney before he freaks out.
I want my muffin. Hey, calm down, Rodney. Hold on. You're losing it. I really want a muffin.
Why do they create the backstory of Rodney hates muffins? Why is that necessary?
Because I think it's just a departure from what he usually gets. Right. That's why the waitress is so surprised.
I know, but the girl that got is like Campbell, Kevin, it's the journey. The hero now has to overcome great odds in order to achieve his goal.
Is it really satisfying when he gets the muffin?
You have no idea.
Buddy, you should bring it up, Kevin, because the muffin is delivered, but then there's a mishap somehow.
Oh, no.
And he has to go. He realizes they spent so much time getting there and ordering and having the muffin delivered. He's got to go to work.
He's got to do his radio show.
He's got to do his radio show. So he decides he's 1 inch away from biting into the muffin. So he takes it with him. So he puts it in his jacket. I'm not kidding.
Sure. The way you
he puts
carry
a muffin in his jacket.
Put it on the inside pocket of your blazer.
Don't ever do that.
Everyone does it.
Okay. So he's walking out of Cantor's and he pulls it out as he's headed to the car. He's finally going to have this sweet, sweet muffin.
Delicious payoff for the
muffin. And then Ralph, what happens?
Well, as so often happens when you try to eat a muffin, Priscilla Presley shows up her daughter, Riley Keough.
Wait, for reals?
Sure.
Yes.
So it's really Priscilla Presley.
Yes.
And her daughter, Riley Keough. Yes.
Okay. From the Showtime Girlfriend Experience, by the way, which is very good. So they're there, and then they somehow talk Rodney into giving them the muffin.
Because they want a muffin, too.
They saw Dr. Oz?
They saw Dr. Oz.
Maybe so.
So run. There's a run on muffins now at Cantor's.
So Rodney hands, because he's a good American, he hands over his muffin to Elvis Presley's widow and goes off to work unsatisfied because he's a man of the people. That's what
he
does.
Here, you can have the muffin. You can share it. It's amazing.
It is.
I want my muffin.
Unbelievable.
Whoa. Calm
how great this video is.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
So you think Allie's housemates over the weekend were just funning with her, Ralph?
They're just a bunch of middle-aged stoners. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Middle-aged? How dare you?
No ghost. You think they were just playing?
No. No ghosts.
No ghosts.
By the way, you know, when the ghosts start moving the luggage in front of you, then give me a call. It always seems to happen in secret. The ghost waits. Oh, there's anybody around? I'm going to do some ghost stuff here now, man. I'm going to move the suitcase over here.
Allie, your rebuttal?
I got nothing.
All right.
We were pretty
wasted. Allie was baked, and she forgot where she put her luggage. That's what happened.
Probably what it was.
She was completely surprised because she thought she put her luggage over there.
And they were all paranoid because they were baked.
Yes.
Yeah, it all makes sense
now.
That's very positive.
Okay.
All right. 7:55.
Okay. I think I just explained things away for Allie.
Tuesday morning, time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys heard about Bean talking about how much he loves fireworks.
Yeah.
Loves, can't get enough fireworks. Loves them.
Came about an asshole at this point.
Came on today, just get off, you kids get off my lawn talk.
Real quick email from listener Edwin. Hearing Bean complain about fireworks and a bunch of people in his house makes it clear why he moved. Since he's looking for some peace and quiet and solitude, New Orleans is the right choice. Can't wait for Spielberg's sequel to Big Friendly Giant called Bean, Big Unfriendly Giant, where he shoos people off his lawn and out of his house. So thank you, Edwin. Good to have you back as well. Thanks for coming back to the show.
I love him.
He's the best. All right. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. We did mention the BFG. Did not do well at the box office this weekend in its debut. Just made $22.3 million. That was only good enough to be number four. Finding Dory was number one for the third week in a row with over $50 million for the long weekend. The Legend of Tarzan came in at number two with $45 million. Then The Purge, Election Day, BFG, as I mentioned, came in at number four. Independence Day, Resurgence was fifth. Central Intelligence came in at number six. Kevin saw it twice. The Shallows was number seven. Free State of Jones made $5 million. Look, I'm sure it's fine. But who?
What is that?
It is a it's a Matthew McConaughey period drama about.
He's trying to sell me a car.
War.
Is he trying to sell me a car?
No, it's not about. It's a different Lincoln. This is this is President Lincoln, not Lincoln the automobile. And it's he's a Southerner who declares his property the Free State of Jones.
Okay,
separating him from the rest of the Confederacy.
Hmm.
Now
that could be good.
But who? look.
Right.
And I think Gary Ross, I think, is the man behind it, very talented writer and director. But it just seems like, boy, you're pushing a big boulder uphill with that one, aren't you?
It does seem like that.
I don't know. Maybe it'll pay off come award season. But, boy, it seems like a hard road to hoe. Conjuring 2, the ninth, was number 9. And Now You See Me 2 came in at number 10 in the top 10 movies list this weekend. Yes, Bean? Yes, you wanted to say something?
I chose to not interrupt.
Yeah. Right. Keep moving, Ralph. That's a mistake.
I heard.
Right, but keep right on
that's
moving.
That's the indicator that something's coming.
Yeah,
that's,
but,
that's the light you see in front of the train when you're in the tunnel.
You need to jerk the wheel so that doesn't happen.
I rethought my plan.
Right, and you should have, and you did the right thing. I'm saying Ralph did the wrong thing
however,
by pausing.
This conversation about it took more time than my actual question would have taken.
Get his weak stuff out of
Get
here.
Get his weak
right?
stuff out of here.
What he says.
Talking about movies, Oscar-winning director Michael Cimino has passed away at the age of 77. Directed The Deer Hunter. You know what?
Oh, one of the best movies of all time ever.
You win. If you directed The Deer Hunter, then you just get a pass. Whatever you want to do then. You want to make
Live?
Free State of Jones? Free State of Jones? That's okay, because you made The Deer Hunter.
He won the directing Oscar for that, didn't he, Ron?
He did indeed, yes.
Kevin, you seen The Deer Hunter?
I have.
Oh, my God, what a great movie.
Wow. Calm down.
Well, I asked because Kevin doesn't usually see old movies, but that one is worth everyone
going
back and
watching. No, I meant your reaction.
Your reaction was...
Wow.
He's also famous
for... Oh, yes.
Usually that's the sound of a happy ending more than it is a movie. But.
And I think Christopher Walken's best ever role.
All right. You're not helping.
It's compelling stuff for sure. That Russian roulette scene, come on.
Indelible.
Indelible.
And
who are you?
Back. And we're back.
Indelible.
Heaven's Gate is also another film he directed in 1980, which was a legendary flop. United Artists gave him whatever he wanted to make his movie Heaven's Gate after the success of The Deer Hunter, and it cost $44 million to make. At the time, was a huge amount of money, and only grossed $3.5 million in theaters.
Ouch.
It's actually a pretty good film, but it was... lambasted as one of the biggest bombs of the times.
So. I don't think I saw that, but I wondered if that was the case. Like Ishtar is not a good movie,
no.
But it's not horrible.
No.
It's not horrible. It's just that it cost so much money and lost so much money that it has this reputation as being the biggest bomb in Hollywood. And I wondered if Heaven's Gate was kind of like that.
Yeah, Heaven's Gate is pretty good. It's don't get me wrong. It's a long, sort of slow paced, ponderous film, but it's pretty entertaining. So. And also, Lois Lane has passed away. If you remember the old 50s TV series, The Adventures of Superman, with George Reeves as the titular character. She was Lois Lane, reporter for the Daily Planet in that series, and 95 years old, she passed away. It's a pretty good run.
Indelible.
Saturday night at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage once again for Hollywood Babylon. We'd love to have you come out and join us. We have a pretty good time, and I think you will too. Saturday at 10 p.m. this week. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. Huey Lewis and the News is 66 years old today. Don't tell me that I'm crazy. Don't tell me I'm nowhere. Take it from me. It's hip to be square.
It's the same song we played last hour.
No, it's not.
No,
that
was
Power of Love. Come on. Now,
where
are you guys with Huey Lewis? Is he somebody who holds up for you and you still
Absolutely.
Enjoy him on the radio?
Okay. Absolutely.
All right.
I've never listened to any station that he's on.
All right, but
never come across him.
But if you were someplace and a Huey Lewis song came on, is he a button pusher for you? Or is that like, you know what? I like it. I'll allow it.
I don't know, B. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Well,
I can't think
do
of a
don't.
Huey Lewis hit I don't enjoy.
Yeah.
But, okay. But you'll listen through the whole thing? Or
yes!
do you go, okay, I've heard a minute. Now it's time
yes!
to look for something
yes!
else.
I want a new drug.
Oh, I want a new drug.
Come on.
I want a new drug. One that does what it should.
Yeah.
One that won't make me feel too bad. One that won't make me feel too good.
Oh, what's a new drug that makes you not feel too good?
You don't feel too good.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's the point of the drug.
No.
Huh. I just want muffins.
Muffin makes me feel good. Muffin be amazing.
I want Rodney and Maz to team up and do a commercial.
Oh.
in Southern California for something. I want them to team up.
I feel like you can make that happen in the other room, Ralph.
I want a muffin.
Me too. Get that wheat still out of here. I go to Muffin Hut. Fabulous food. Great peoples.
And Dr. Oz says you need blueberries.
Come on. Those two would be a super couple.
I'm
power
in.
Couple.
I'm in.
Mosney. We call that their couple name. I'm just going to get out of here now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with the beat.
Another quick reminder, by the way, if you want to have 21 Pilots play at your home, it's the K-Rock Home Invasion. You get that and a 2016 Honda Civic just for filling out the back of your brand new K-Rock Summer sticker, now available at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. Just go to K-Rock.com for all the details. Hey, King.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, man?
I am alive.
Sounds David, like David spent a lot of time in Las Vegas in recent days.
The past 2 weeks have been Vegas-centric.
Mm, yeah. Right. At least you took Rhonda Ruffey with you to the hottest place on earth.
Oh, she was in the air-conditioned room. She was fine.
Okay. Well, Dave, we got a couple of things in sports that we wanted to talk about, and I wanted to ask you in because I know you are our basketball correspondent here on the program.
Love it.
When we can't get money. And that is your brief analysis of the free agency and how it improved or not the Lakers or the Clippers.
Okay. Clippers have basically re-signed their team again from last year, except Cole Aldridge, which I'm going to miss because he was a good backup. But we did draft Bryce Johnson from North Carolina, who is a decent player, and I hope he can make the team.
And for people who don't know, the two stars were injured, and so who knows how far the team would have gone, right?
Yes, I mean...
They tried to get Kevin Durant, but couldn't.
Yeah, they had the meeting with Kevin Durant, and...
That apparently went well.
Yeah, it went well, but he told them, hey, look, I'm not going to sign with you, because obviously he's going to sign with Golden State, that bastard. But... You know, Chris Paul injured his hand, his shooting hand. It healed up. He's not playing the Olympics to rest. Blake Griffin injured his knee. He healed up, and he's not playing the Olympics, so he could rest as well. DeAndre Jordan is playing in the Olympics, which I think is a good idea. So he could keep playing and stay in shape.
Practice free throws?
practice free throws because he's going to shoot a lot of them.
All right, so the Clippers you had last year, you essentially get again next year.
Exactly. I know they're going to make a couple more moves, and we'll see what they get to fill in their roster. But it's essentially the same team.
Could I just speak on the Lakers' behalf?
Yes.
The janky NBA franchise in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
That's
wow.
it. That's all I got.
Wow. It's
it's Moz times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, let's not forget Luol Deng.
Out of here.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So would you say the marquee trade for the Lakers is this Timothy Mozgov from the Cavaliers?
Well, it
right?
wasn't a trade. It was a free agent
signing. Free agency,
signing.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Marquee, no, because Luol Deng signed or is going to sign. He played with the Heat last year, and he's a solid player.
Good. That's what the Lakers
I mean, listen.
He's a solid player.
Yeah, he averaged about 12 points last year.
Yeah.
So add that to Mozgov's 4 points, and you got 16 points.
Right? All right.
Add it to the court.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right. Now, we have been talking about Moz all day, and that's because his commercial is the greatest thing since Rodney's Muffins video. This is a brew garden that he is doing an ad for in Cleveland, right?
I don't know.
Yes, it
and
is. Okay,
English is clearly not his second language. And I don't want to hold
How
that against him, but he also is.
First...
Wait. Oh yeah, that's right. It's not his first language either, right? He's also, in addition to that, he's terrible, right? And here's a little piece of his wonderful Brugard commercial. And I hope Ralph is right, and that agencies all over Southern California are lining up to sign him as a spokesperson for whatever product they've got.
Get this weak stock out of here. I'm hungry for the Brew Garden. Fabulous food, fine spirits, fantastic people. My home away from home, the Brew Garden.
Now hiring both locations.
So he's ready for Hollywood.
Wow.
Yep. First of all. All right. So that's thing one. Thing two that happened while we were on vacation is Marshawn Lynch of the Seattle Seahawks did a sit-down interview. And you know how rarely he speaks to the press, Kevin?
Yeah.
He did an interview. It was kind of an exit interview where he officially put a nail in his career and said, that's it. I am retired. And there was one interesting clip that came out of that I don't think got very much attention that I think you guys will enjoy very much. Here's Marshawn Lynch.
That's when it just clicked in my mind that if you just run through somebody's face, a lot of people ain't going to be able to take that over and 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 over again. They're just not going to want that.
Think there's a deeper metaphor there?
Run through a motherfucker face. Then you don't have to worry about them no more.
I don't feel like there's a deeper metaphor.
No, I thought that was a bizarre pretty surface question, too.
It's a pretty surface.
So I think that's a good window into Marshawn Lynch's view of how to play football, is just run through a mother effer, and then you don't have to worry about that. So I thought that was a pretty funny exit interview. And finally, Kevin, I know you have been, as I have been, watching a lot of the tournament that is going on, the soccer tournament that's going on right now. Yep. What's the official name of this one?
Euro 2016.
And why was the United States able to be in that tournament, even though it's a Euro tournament? It's not just European teams.
No, there was two different ones. The United States was in the Copa America.
Which is, so they weren't in this one. Okay.
South America, North America, and then this is Euro 2016 that's going on now in Europe.
Gotcha. Yep. So we're into the semifinals are coming up this week. But the team that has captured the imagination of the world is from the tiny nation of Iceland. And they, I don't know what the predictions were at the beginning of this tournament, but they far exceeded them by ending up in the quarterfinals. They finally lost yesterday very badly to France. But this is a team, this was the Cinderella team that everybody was getting behind. It was like, oh my God, once your team was out, you were like, I'm going for Iceland because they are so much fun. What made them so good? Did they just get lucky, Kevin?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know. I think they just played really well together. There's something that has to be said for chemistry that happens in any sports team. When you get on a roll, you get momentum. I have no idea how to get there.
I don't know about the ratings for their game against France yesterday, but their game against England had 99.8% of the televisions in Iceland on.
Well, yeah, but that's like 15 TVs.
99.8%. And the funniest thing I saw after Iceland beat England 2-1 is that 1 in 150,000 people in Iceland has scored against England. which I thought was so funny because they're such a tiny nation. And then, of course, we all fell in love with the announcer for Iceland. And I don't know if you guys had a chance to hear him, but here he is in his native Icelandic calling the end of the game against England that they surprisingly won.
Petr Elmar, here he is, Petr Fyra Vatalvik, 3-2, Emmy, for the team, Emmy,
is that announcing at that point? What's he doing?
I love that so much. He's celebrating. That's what he's doing. That's awesome.
And, of course, somebody took that and put it to a death metal remix. Heard worse bands, I'll tell you.
That's my new favorite.
Not the worst thing I've ever heard.
That's my new favorite.
So good times. All right, we got to take a break now and then come back with your telephone calls. It's time for Kevin Bean's What's Good. We have not had the opportunity to talk to you guys for a couple of weeks, so we are dying to know what's on your mind. What did we miss? What do you want us to be talking about? What's going on in your life? We want thoughts. We want complaints. We want questions. We want comments. What am I leaving out? What else can people call about?
You want the old show back? It was on last week.
A lot of people love the Ralph and Allie and Chip show, I'll tell you that. So your chance to get on the air, be part of the Kevin and Bean show right now. It's Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Call us now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next. That is truly awful, you guys.
Hands of Fury.
Look, I'm not a Hands of Fury fan anyway, but you guys have lost a step over Vacation.
That was
terrible.
We destroyed it, Glastonbury.
Were you guys clapping to different songs?
It sounded
like you're completely a different track.
Sure did sound that way.
All right, Tuesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, why don't you be a part of the program on any topic right now? It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Here's like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Let's see what we got on the board here today. Why don't we start in orange and go to Gabriella? She's on line 4 up first on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Gabriella.
Hi, that's me.
Hi.
It is you. Welcome. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Thanks. Okay, so you know how Katie's on the Warriors now?
Yes.
Okay. So in case you didn't know this already, Lil B lifted the base God curse on Kevin Durant, so everyone can rest easy now. We're good.
I'm sorry,
okay,
what?
Now hold on, hold on. Slow down. A lot of people may not be up to speed with the curse. Tell us how the curse began.
What curse?
Lil B, the base God.
Yeah, exactly. Come on,
guys. Kevin.
Get together.
Okay, Lil B.
So apparently Kevin Durant somehow disrespected Lil B, and so he put a curse on Kevin Durant, which is why they never won a championship.
I see. Okay.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course he did the, do we have a clip of the very popular song that Lil B did about the curse?
Yes, we do.
I hope so.
Kevin Durant.
He does good work. Tell you that.
Very worthy.
So why the change of heart from Lil B? Why does he care whether Kevin Durant's playing for Oklahoma City or the Warriors? Why doesn't the curse follow KD?
That's going to be a question for Lil B. I don't know.
We got to get Lil B on the phone.
We got to hit him up.
Here's what he tweeted. As life unravels and superstars make decisions that change lives, welcome home, KD. The curse is lifted, Lil B. So I guess it's...
Welcome home.
That's what he said. So I don't know. But, Gabriella, thank you for bringing that to our attention. We will continue to follow the story, and we appreciate you listening.
Thank you for the call.
All right, let's try our man Ken, Long Beach, up next. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to be part of Kevin and Bean's What's Good here on a Tuesday. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on?
Hey, so I have a question.
Yep.
With the emergence of Hands of Fury.
Mm-hmm.
What happened with Wurstum? Did Chip break up another band?
How dare you!
Wurstum was a great idea.
And great album and great tour. But after a year and a half on the road, I mean, you got to take a break. You got to take some time away from the road because you just get worn out.
You misunderstood, Kevin. None of those happened. It never got beyond the talking stage. But it was like a great idea that just for whatever reason, people couldn't get their schedules together. It never happened. This was going to be the Badfinger tribute band that Ralph was going to sing with. And Chip, you're playing bass. And I think Noodles was on guitar. Do we have a drummer also?
Muggs.
Muggs is going to drum.
He likes beats.
So I think Worst Thumb is in the rearview mirror. And
Hands of Fury is where it's at.
Well,
I mean, that's all the excitement is now, Ken.
I mean, I was still waiting for the Kill Carl band with her and the King of Mexico. Remember that?
Oh, that's right. What was that band called, Chip?
That was called Daryl's Crossbow. And you try to be in a band with Dave who doesn't have any musical talent at all. And you would bail, too.
Okay. I forgot about
you, Chip.
What do all three bands have in common?
Who was the great songwriter? Me. Not you. Me. I fired you. Remember that.
I don't think that happened, Dave.
I forgot about Daryl's Crossbow. You did all Walking Dead songs. That was awesome. All right, Ken, you've given us something to aspire to.
A whole CD? I'm sorry? That's a bad idea. Thank you for calling.
Marnie Kinross is going to be joining us at 9 o'clock this morning. We've had her on before. She's the wing girl, and she knows what she's talking about. So she is going to help the gentlemen with the ladies. That is coming up at 9 here on K-Rock. All right. Kevin, you probably missed this during the break, but the Red Cross is in some hot water.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Yes. That is true. They put out a poster that has some people saying, hey, that's a little bit racist. Here's a news report.
The American Red Cross apologizing for a pool safety poster that some say is racist and offensive. This poster is entitled Be Cool, Follow the Rules, but it appears to portray white children as cool and children of color as not cool. See, a picture of the poster created a firestorm on Twitter. The Red Cross says it removed the poster from the website and their app, and they have asked facilities to get rid of that poster as well.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Sorry, man.
Not cool.
Look. I don't know whether the person who created this poster is racist or not, but I do know that somebody in the chain of command before it was published should have looked at it and said, how come every single example of bad pool behavior in this poster is a black kid? Somebody should have pointed that out, I think. So, for instance, there's a white girl who gets a little green cool sign on her who's getting ready to jump into the pool on a diving board. And then there's a young African-American boy who's diving off the side into the pool, and he gets the big red not cool. And it goes around like that the entire time. There's a black kid chasing a kid around the pool, around some puddles. There's
Being
a black...
said in this poster, I'm all of the black kids.
You're all of the black kids. there's a black kid who's pushing a white kid into the pool and gets a not cool.
So the point is,
what kind of organization does not run this by somebody where
somebody.
They go, hey, let's make some of the white kids do bad things and some of the black kids do good things.
It does seem intentional, but I'm sure, as is always the case, we are rushing to judgment and there's another side of the story. So we asked Dave if he could line somebody up we could speak to, and we do have a Red Cross spokesperson on the phone. This is Kyle Foster, who joins us on the Kevin Devine Show right now. Mr. Foster, thanks so much for coming on, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk to everyone.
Well, the Red Cross has taken a little bit of a hit publicity-wise. We'll just give you the opportunity to explain what happened here.
Well, first of all, once again, the Red Cross apologizes to anyone who may be upset or offended by this poster. It obviously and certainly wasn't our intention when we put this list of simple pool safety rules up at facilities around the country. It was not intended to be racist or offensive in any stretch of the imagination.
What's the system like there at the Red Cross? I mean, does this have people going over it and looking at it? Are there any checks and balances going on?
Many of the executives here did look at the poster.
Okay.
And we simply just did not recognize the fact that some of the children being labeled as not cool were, in fact, children of color. We just did not recognize it. We just looked at it as a bunch of kids and engaging in different behaviors, and we really didn't concentrate on the colors so much. So
in other words, you're the opposite of racist because you didn't even see color in this poster.
That's right. These kids are all just kids to us. And obviously, the poster, it's a cartoon, not meant to be reflective of real life. The one who's saying be cool, follow the rules, is a talking whale, for God's sakes, blowing a whistle.
I mean, right.
Are whales going to be offended now because they don't blow whistles? I mean, let's not take – I mean, we're sorry if you're upset, but let's not get too crazy, okay?
Well,
not everybody who's not cool, by the way, is a person of color. There's one not cool guy walking by the pool carrying a soda, a bottle, which is dangerous. He's not a person of color. I think he's a Jew or something. I don't know what he is.
No, what? Hold on a second. There's no way to know, and I don't know why you even say that.
He looks like a Jew to me. That's all I'm
just
saying.
That's ridiculous.
Now, and we also have a black lifeguard. Come on. I mean, this is not a real poster. This is real life, right? Come on, a black lifeguard? Who would do that?
A vile?
What are you talking about?
Absolutely black lifeguards. Why would you even say something so stupid?
Well, I'm just saying, right? I mean, you want a lifeguard to be a strong swimmer, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want one?
Kyle!
You want your kid being watched by someone who, you know, just may not be the best at swimming, that's all
okay,
I'm saying.
Okay, this is exactly what people suspected about the Red Cross. All you're doing is reinforcing the stereotypes that you're a racist organization.
And the little black girl pushing the white girl in the pool, I think the white girl is like a lesbian or something, so that's not cool, right?
How would you get that from a picture, and why would you get that
from
a picture?
Look at her hair.
It's a cartoon.
It's in a ponytail.
Mm-hmm, exactly. That's my point.
That's not what we're saying, though.
So most of these children are all awful, one way or another, whether they're black or gay or Jewish. I mean, they're all just awful, really.
Okay.
If any of them drowns, nobody's really going to mind.
I'm not positive you're doing the Red Cross
once again,
much
I
good.
I just want to apologize for anyone who may be offended by this. Right.
Sure. Thank you for your time.
What was 6.7?
There's a goddamn clapping band for that thing. Where the hell are you?
That song is called Hand Clap.
Well, don't clap on this one, because it doesn't make any sense.
It does seem like that would be the one song you would be prepared for, I would think.
You can't tell us what to do, man.
Right. I forgot. Your loose cannons, your cards that need to be dealt
with. That's right. We do what we want.
All right, Tuesday morning, it's the Kevin and Bean Show, and I apologize once again to those who are getting used to and much preferred the Ralph and Allie and Chip Show. I'm sorry, that show will not go forward in its previous incarnation because we're here to ruin it.
Yeah.
But
in fairness, I think people only liked it more because it was better.
Right. I think that's true. That's the impression I got.
That's what I think.
Yeah. I feel like that's the only reason. Consensus.
The only real
so
reason.
You're going to have to settle for Kevin and Bean being back, and I apologize in advance for that. But it's time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday with Ralph Garman. What's going on?
Well, this will take the sting out of it. How about a pair of passes to an advanced screening of Ghostbusters?
Yay!
Ghostbusters is in theaters on July 15th, but you will get to see it at the special K-Rock advance screening of Ghostbusters at the Pacific's The Grove Theater on July 12th. And we'll throw in a pizza, courtesy of Papa John's. Pizza and ghostbusting. What more do you need?
Hey-ho.
Does it seem like we've been talking about this Ghostbusters film for
about 4 years.
It does.
It's
I can't
finally
believe it's
coming out.
It's not already out. I thought you were talking about coming out on DVD.
Melissa McCarthy, of course, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, Leslie Jones star as this new generation of Ghostbusters. You can check it out if you want to see it before everybody else. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers through at that phone number, we get a pair of passes to Ghostbusters and a pizza from Papa John's.
If Kevin saw Central Intelligence twice, imagine how many times he's going to see Ghostbusters.
All the times.
Yep.
He's just
going to
get a
every
pup
screening
tent and just live in a theater.
Melissa McCarthy was in Central Intelligence.
Was she?
Mm-hmm. Yes, she was.
Right.
Back to you. I felt like that added less than I was hoping.
How much could you have been
don't
hoping?
Know. I don't know.
To
I
add with that comment,
sort of excited about it, and then it just kind of died. So my bad.
I don't remember somebody was in a movie.
That one's on me.
That was yeah. Really good.
I'm gonna take that,
that
one. Yeah,
all
you're, right.
You're brave.
Mm-hmm.
You're brave and bold. Maz. It's all about the Maz. That's all I care about.
Maz.
He is the newest Laker. And he, beyond being a really marginal basketball player, is a spectacularly bad pitch man for local commercials. And while he was in Cleveland, I'm talking about Mozgov, of course, the new center to join the Lakers. While he was in Cleveland, he did a ton of commercials for this place called the Brew Garden. For both
he
locations.
Did more than the one?
For both locations, by the way. There are two Brew Gardens, not just the one.
Right.
He liked both locations. He did one that we love, that we've been talking about, which get this weak stuff out of
get
here.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
Yeah. My fabulous food and great people. But people keep sending us commercials that he did for Brew Garden.
This is great.
This is the new one where he talks about his favorite daytime bartender that he
really?
Hangs out with, who's got, by the way, sweater puppies for days. Here's the commercial.
Hi, Moscow.
Hi, Liz. You are my favorite daytime bartender at the Brew Garden. You really raised the ceiling.
And fabulous food, fine spirits, and fantastic people. Come visit me at the Brew Garden.
Yeah.
Brew
Wait.
Garden.
Wait.
You had me at hello.
What? What does that even mean?
Wait.
You had
did,
me
did
at hello?
Say, you really raised the
you
ceiling?
You really raised the ceiling. And by
what
the way, he puts
mean?
His hand up like this. And then leaves it up there for the
for
remainder
the rest
of the commercial.
So at least
really
after the first ad, they realize this guy's an idiot. He can't
or
read.
This guy's gold.
Right. So let's have the girl do most of the copy points in the other ad.
Lisa,
right?
That's you're my favorite daytime bartender. I love your giant bosoms.
That is magnificent.
You really raised the ceiling. Get this weak stock out of here.
Yeah, so.
Now hiring both locations.
Both locations.
Okay. Glad he's day drinking, though. That's
well, what's he
else good?
He's not playing. What else does he have to do? You can be drunk on the bench.
Can we play that again?
Sure.
That's the best commercial ever.
Hi, Mosca.
Hi, Liz. You are my favorite daytime bartender at the Brew Garden. You really raised the ceiling.
And fabulous food, fine spirits, and fantastic people. Come visit me at the Brew Garden.
Brew Garden. You had me at hello.
Why did they have you at hello? That's Jerry Maguire.
Oh, is that the movie it was from?
Yes.
It did come out of nowhere.
That's
their
sense.
Slogan.
It's the other one. They're hiring at both locations.
Fabulous food, great people. Get this weak stuff out of here.
Now hiring both locations.
That's
get
right.
this weak stuff out of here.
Both of them. All right. I've been saying it for a long time. No one listens to me, but I've been telling you, country music's no goddamn good. The people like it are awful. No one seems to pay any attention to me when I say that stuff.
That's true.
Well, proof positive. Saturday at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, there's madness at a Kenny Chesney concert.
Uh-oh.
Madness.
What happened?
36 people were arrested for underage drinking. Another 25 people taken to the hospital. 70 were arrested. 48 tons of garbage left behind to clean up.
Come on.
48 tons of garbage.
No way.
How is it possible?
Because there's 40,000 pieces of white trash there. That's why. So, yeah, it's awful, and everyone should stay away from it. Because it's.
I like it. The country music is so good.
No, it's not. It's not good at all.
It's science.
And Prince, his fans are willing to shell out a couple bucks for a souvenir, a little memento of the late, great Prince. There was a auction over the weekend where some costume pieces from Purple Rain were being auctioned off. One was a motorcycle jacket that he wears when he takes Apollonia for a ride in the film. That had an opening bid of
$6,000. For $6,000, you could own that motorcycle jacket. Piece of history from Purple Rain. Finally sold for $96,000.
Wow.
What?
And the ruffled pirate shirt he wears in the final concert sequence of the film? That has a starting price of $3,000. That's sold for $100,000.
Wow.
What do you do with that?
You take the DNA from the pit stains and you grow yourself a prince.
Why just make one?
Right. Make a fleet of princes.
Right?
Do they come in fleets?
I'm not positive how that works.
Herd? What do princes come in? Herds? Gaggles?
Possibly,
yeah. What's a group of princes? I know two princes. I've heard that
nope.
song.
Nope.
Stab you right in the eye.
Wow. Welcome back, Kevin. Jeez. Today's celebrity birthdays.
You really raised the city.
Edie Falco from Sopranos.
How great is she, by the way?
She's great in everything she does.
She's one of those actors who you saw her as Carmela Soprano and you went, well, that's it. That's the role of a lifetime. She'll never do anything like that again. And then she comes out with Nurse Jackie for all those years and blows your mind with how great she is.
Right. Your point is she's good. She's
my
good.
Point is...
Is there an ending to that story?
No, my point is that there's some actors like Bryan Cranston and others who can just do anything and they're great over and over and over again.
Right.
And she's one of them.
That's your point, is that she's good.
Right. Okay. Talented actress.
Clarifying. RZA from Wu-Tang Clan is 47. And Huey Lewis!
Huey Lewis! Don't need money. Don't take fame. Don't need no credit card.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Come on.
Right, Moz?
Now hiring both locations.
Both locations at the Brew Garden. I want to get me a job at the Brew Garden. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I was trying to think. I was thinking about this over the weekend. Why I'm not getting any ladies anymore. And then I thought, you know what? It's because it's been too long since we've had the Wing Girl in. Relationship coach Marnie Kinross is back on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is at WingGirlMethod.com. Hey, Marnie.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me back on.
Plus, you're married and all women hate you.
Both of those things are true.
Instantly, yeah. I'll get on an elevator with him, and they won't know us, and you can just read body language. It's like, okay, they really need to get off of this elevator.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
obvious.
Yes,
what's going
thank you, Marty, for
that's
realizing
horrible.
What's
so
really
sweet.
Going on here. Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, and God, am
I'm
I
only
handsome.
Getting you for 10 minutes though, so
say,
maybe
around,
and not in person.
Yeah. So let me. Actually, that's a fantastic place to start with Marty, because Marty is somewhat of an expert on men and women and how they interact and what works and what doesn't and what are turn ons and what are turn offs. What about the guy who comes to you and says, "I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, women just don't like me." You hear that, I'm sure, from people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what is really going on there? Are they sending out some sort of a loser vibe, and girls are just receptive enough to have their antenna up and realize that's
absolutely.
What's happening?
Absolutely, it's the same thing. Like if you notice a pattern that after talking to 10 people, they don't want to talk to you, or after doing anything with 10 people, you get the same response. There's nothing wrong with those other people. There's something wrong with you. So either you're not liking yourself. And you're projecting this horrible energy and air to other people that would never attract them, or there's some way that you're coming across that you're unaware of that you really need to become aware of so that you can alter that.
I feel like people aren't quick enough to blame themselves for that situation.
Not.
It seems like they go, oh, there's something wrong with everybody.
Yeah, everybody else is screwed up, not me. That the wonderful thing about my company is that amazing people come to me who are open and ready to make change or learn what's going on. And they're really welcoming to me beating them up a little bit.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Because I tell them what I see. Like this one guy that I was working with last week, so cute, so successful, but he was a bit of a dick. Like he didn't mean to be. He was trying to be wonderful and he was trying to listen, but he kept cutting me off and he kept interrupting and he kept telling me what I was trying to say. And I knew that he had good intentions, but the way that it was coming across was very aggressive and hurtful. And I was saying to him, it's like you don't really want me to give a response. You don't want to listen to me, so it makes me stop talking.
Did that surprise him?
Yeah, absolutely. He's like, really? He's like, I didn't even realize that I came across that way. And I said, you know, that may just be me, but right now you're trying to be as unfiltered as possible. Mm-hmm. So try and see if that's true. Try taking a pause before you start talking and see if the reactions change from other people. And he wrote me back a week later and said, actually, it did alter the way that my communication went and my conversations went. And I asked a few people and they also said the same thing.
So that particular guy wasn't a dick. But no. Was coming across as a dick.
Exactly. And Right. That's the whole thing. Like, sometimes you're really not a horrible person. You're trying your own communication style, not realizing how it's affecting other people.
And it also helps that a third party is pointing it out.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, someone he's dating saying, you're interrupting, you're not listening to me. But you coming from a place of, I want to help you, as opposed to, oh my God, listen to me.
Absolutely, because most helps. Of the time, like, I'm sure that you've had this, like, it's hard when you're in a relationship because you don't want to hear that mm-hmm. from the person that you love. You kind of close your ears to it. Or anybody that's close to you, you kind of just, you know me really well. You don't know right. what you're talking about. So, yeah, it's more effective when it is from a third party who's just meeting you for the first time.
Sure.
And is hateful.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think that's what we're saying.
What? Oh, no. We're not saying that?
No. Okay.
I thought we were.
I would like to ask
who
you.
Who is cruel and vindictive.
I would like to ask you, Marnie, since you deal in the course of your work throughout the year at WingGirlMethod.com with thousands of people, do you see any kind of a change in single people just in general over the last few years in terms of a tendency toward not as many relationships or not wanting to date as much, more just hang time or just friends with benefits? I mean, are you seeing any kind of trends right now?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely with younger people. And to be honest, my hat is off to them. I think it's fantastic and wonderful to take more time to get to know yourself, to have experiences, whether they be sexual experiences or non-sexual experiences. I think in the past, a lot of people jumped into things really quickly without knowing what they want, who they are, or what their goals were for down the road. And now people are taking a little bit more time to be selfish.
You feel a lot of pressure at 20 to find a partner at one time.
And now there's pressure for people at 20 to be single and have fun.
Right.
So I think it's kind of wonderful.
Who comes to you the most from guys? Is it the guys that want to move from the friend zone?
Yes. They're not the most, but I would say that's a huge concern and issue that they're having. So I tell them about stating their intention, not being afraid to flirt, because a lot of guys think that putting their sexual intention out there is insulting or disrespectful.
Because most of the time it
right, like, I'm not saying to go hump a woman's leg on your first date.
But you're not saying.
Let me cross that off.
No, but I'm saying, like, make eye contact.
Right while you're doing it.
Yeah, touch her stuff. Right, exactly. Be respectful if you're going to do it.
Sure,
yeah.
So, Marty, I'm glad Kevin brought that up. So the friend zone, is that how long do you have when you meet a woman?
1 second.
Before there's a danger of you being put
into
the friend zone.
True. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Like before you've opened your mouth, you may already be in the friend zone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. By the way that you present yourself. But the good thing is that women can shift their opinions on you very easily. So if you start to change your behavior, change the way that you talk to them, change the communication that you're putting out to them, you can go from friend zone to like sexy zone very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're 5 years in, it's going to take a little bit longer, but you can still shift the way that
it how long would it take you to shift if you're 5 years in?
Well, it could take you about 6 months. But it depends. It depends how you present your information. So let's say you've been really friendly for 5 years. You've been watching her date a ton of guys and like hating it every second, but you're still available to her all the time. You're the shoulder to cry on. And then suddenly you say to yourself, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. You're not as available. You're not there for her. You're the leader. You are the confident man in front of her who's out with other women who doesn't allow for this friendship behavior anymore. And then you say to her, listen, what?
Why doesn't he want to talk to me?
Exactly. Why isn't he there for me?
And I'm not saying
that this is
going to
work.
Suddenly attractive.
It is.
He doesn't need me.
But it is. It's totally true. You know from experience, it's totally attractive. And the thing is that it's not going to work 100% of the time, but it's going to work for you because you're going to stop fixating on this one woman that's not going to give you the time of day. You're going to open your eyes to other women or potentially engage that woman that you want.
I feel like a lot of times guys say, how do I talk to women? Because they put so much pressure on that one conversation.
Yeah.
I need a line or I need something to say that's going to get me the girl. And they don't realize it's okay if you don't get that girl.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. There's so much pressure on both sides of how to communicate. But for men especially, because not sadly, but they are in charge of the approach. It is really up to them to go and initiate that conversation. So there is a lot of pressure because they know from their own experience, so they can get rejected in 2 seconds. If they think that right, they're saying the wrong thing, but it's the way that they're saying the wrong thing.
But I'm saying it's okay if she turns you down. You're still going to be fine, and she's still going to be fine.
Absolutely. You say that.
Right.
So many men don't think that. That fear of rejection is palpable.
Yeah.
It's almost scary.
Yeah, and women have that too. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Not as much. But yeah, I completely agree with you. That is the biggest thing that men talk to me about, this fear of rejection and not wanting to take a chance. And that's the difference that I've seen in the past couple of years, because with social media, all these dating apps, with so many walls in between our interactions with other people, it's become more challenging to figure out how to have conversations.
Mm-hmm. Relationship coach Marnie Kinross in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is WingGirlMethod.com, also on Twitter at WingGirlMethod. We have so much more ground we want to cover, including what about all the girls who say to me, through their lawyers, 500 feet or more that I have to stay away. Is there any way to overcome that?
Yeah, you just punch them in the face and move on.
Mm.
No,
boom!
I'm joking. Mm. No, no, no.
We'll be right back with Marty on K-Rock. 10 mistakes men make with women and how to avoid them. Dirty dating tips and secrets from a woman on how to attract, seduce, and get any female you want. And that's not how men work. The simple guide to understanding any man and igniting his true love and desire forever. Those are just some of the books from our guest in studio right now, Marty Kinross. She is the Wing Girl. And she also is the host of a podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud called Ask Women. And Kevin, your episode, I just got to say right now.
So good.
It was the best one we've ever had.
It was the best episode of a podcast. Why can't you deliver here on the Kevin and Bean Show the way you did for Marnie's podcast?
Right. I didn't.
Do you want to know how that podcast went? It went, oh, where's Kevin? Oh, he's not here. So he ended up getting a filler from our producer.
I didn't realize that day was the same day I had the other
thing.
Commitments.
Right.
With the people at the place.
At the place.
Right.
Okay. At the place.
I straight up just didn't show up. And I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And I'm sorry. It wasn't on purpose. I didn't think about it and go, I'm not going.
Right.
I just was.
You just forgot about it completely.
I saw something shiny and that's
right.
That's the way
I was saying it was our. It is our fault because we're horrible at confirming people and we had booked it so
many
weeks.
Right, let's go with your fault.
Right, exactly. Yes. So this time when you come on, I'm going to make sure that I confirm the day before.
Oh, see what she did?
Yes.
She lured me in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, I really want you to come on our podcast because I think you would deliver wonderful information to both men and women. Mostly for men.
A lot of people think that I would deliver important information for women and men.
But sadly.
That's what I'm known for.
Yeah.
So, Marnie,
yes.
do women appreciate what you tell men? Are you telling secrets that women are grateful you're telling? Or do they look at you as some sort of a traitor who are telling people, you know, things that they wish that you would?
Well, when I first started doing this, anybody who was like a marketing person is like, yeah, you should be called the traitor and the insider. And like, the women hate you. But women actually love what I'm saying. Whenever I am with my girlfriends and their significant others and I start talking about something, every woman is tapping their man's shoulder saying, you listen to what she's saying.
Yeah, that's
what I've been
annoying.
Trying to say for the past 5 years. I know. And every guy's like, I hate you. Get out of our parties.
Like, what kind of stuff? What are we talking about?
Just talking about how women communicate, the subtle things that we do to try to get men to actually respond. And it's our fault for not being more clear. But for mm-hmm. example, so I've been noticing that I do this sometimes and a lot of my married friends do this as well. They'll start telling stories to their husbands about their other friends' marriages mm-hmm. that are closely aligned with something they're trying mm-hmm. to talk about as well, so that they think in their mind the man can visualize outside
this is kind
of their
like
relationship.
We're going,
right, we're going through this too, but then they can be, you know, they can be impartial because they're seeing what the other guy's doing and maybe take in that information as well.
No,
it backfires on you. It doesn't work.
Wait, that's what women are trying to do?
Yep, absolutely. I'm not saying every woman does that, but a lot of women do that.
Yes, I'm saying yes, because guys immediately go, okay, this is about me and my issues.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Really?
Okay.
Because I actually think it totally goes over their heads. Yeah, for some men maybe who are really in tune, I honestly think that they're commenting on another marriage.
I don't think that's what she's saying.
Yeah. I will say I did this recently with my husband because I wanted to try it out. And a couple of days later, I said, when we were talking about, you know, X and X's relationship, did you see any parallels to our own relationship? And he's like, oh, that's what you were trying to do is draw a comparison? Because I didn't see that at all. So he didn't. And he lives
went
with
right
me. He
head.
Knows that I'm trying to do this stuff all the time.
I feel like most need it spelled out. But maybe you are just more in tune,
right,
Kevin? It's not spelled out, to be honest. It's just clear communication that sadly – we women sometimes fail at. Because we do subtle communication so well with each other.
Right. You made a reference to something in the first segment, Marna, that I wanted to circle back to real quick. And you were talking about the way people communicate now is largely electronic.
Yeah.
Do you think that many men and women have lost the ability to have a conversation face-to-face?
Yes. Really? I don't know what else to say about that, but 100%. Absolutely. That is one of the main topics that I help people with. It's how to have a fluid conversation.
So I can text you and be witty and funny and attractive, but then when I'm in front of you, all of a sudden now it's harder to be that person.
Yeah, because you don't have, 15 minutes and three of your guy friends helping you construct the perfect message to a woman or an app that tells you exactly what to say.
Technically, you can't do either, B.
What about
I'm saying an example of a
guy that you're texting and then he just keeps texting and keeps texting and there's no date made, there's no anything.
It's texting just, without purpose is the most annoying thing.
Texting without purpose, and then you call him on it and their response is,
I love it, you call
I got
him on
I got caught up in the banter, I was enjoying this. What? Who says that?
I don't know. Weird men. You're like, this is not even banter. This is frustrating and extremely annoying because I want to know what you want. Even on the way here, somebody texted me and just said, hey, what's up? And I was like, nothing. I'm driving. Great. How are you doing? And I'm like, why are you contacting me?
Why are you texting,
I'm driving. I mean, I live 5 blocks away, so it's totally fine. I don't have to watch the road.
So there has to be a purpose behind it.
Yes. If your intention is to ask out, even if it's just for a friend, like same thing, texting is used as a shortcut.
Right.
It's not meant to build connection, build attraction, have a full conversation. I think it's a tool for making things a little bit more simple and easy, but not for things that actually matter.
Do people ask each other out anymore and say, hey, let's go here, I'll pick you up at 7? Because that is the biggest complaint with my friends and I. There's no dating anymore.
Invite.
There's no, just, oh, you want to meet me there Saturday? I'll be there probably around 10.
Yeah.
Maybe. Really? Is that a date?
That is what the dating is now.
Well, that sucks.
And not for the guys that I work with, because I do not let them do that. Because I don't think it's attractive and sexy. Even it's for women all over the map. So women in their 20s, they still want that like movie-esque moment. They still want to be pulled off with confidence and like be really sexy when you do it. But they still want the, I want to take you out next week. There's this great X restaurant.
Right.
Let's
have
go.
A plan.
I'll pick you up. I'll meet you there. Yeah, exactly. Have a plan.
Marnie, I have to ask, do you have, and of course, every situation is different, every couple is different, but in general, in your experience, is there a time that is too soon or too late to wait to try to have sex?
To be honest, I don't really have rules about when to have sex with somebody, but I have...
Because there's some people who think that you'll kill the relationship if you do it too early, or you'll enter into a different stage of the relationship if you wait too late. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you want to keep them around, you should wait. No.
I will say that
if you want to keep them around, that's my. Why am I?
It just totally. It totally depends on what your intention is. If your intention is to go out there and have fun and explore people and see what happens and maybe be casual until you meet somebody that's kind of cool, like do whatever you want. But if you notice that you've fallen into a pattern where you sleep with a girl too soon or you sleep with a guy too soon and then things blow up in your face, you haven't really made a connection, then it's up to you to change that rule for yourself and say, okay, I got to slow down. Maybe not. Give myself up that easily, not shave my legs so that I wouldn't be, enticed to have sex with somebody, and slow things down and make sure that you have a connection as well as the sexual chemistry.
You're not shaving your legs was not to turn the guys off. It was so that
I would not have sex.
Interesting.
Yes.
That's funny.
Great. Do you not know that? Seriously, that's what all of us do. Sometimes it doesn't work, though.
That's like the...
And then you have to be like, sorry, I didn't shave my legs. I just didn't know I'd
be so like, hot for you.
That's the Bridget Jones granny panties, right? Same concept.
Yes.
Okay. We're almost out of time here, Marnie. We love having you on. How are people using Wing Girl Method right now? Are they scheduling appointments or do you have seminars?
I have at-home programs that people can purchase because I work with people all over the world. And then every single program that you purchase includes a week of email coaching with me. me, and it's actually me. That's what I do all day. Is I help, as I write to people and work with people and help them get through whatever.
Email you. I'm having trouble with this particular person, and this is how long we've known each other. And then you would give me tips, or
And I exactly what you were saying before with that guy. I'm like the third party who's totally impartial, and I have so much experience in this space now that honestly, if somebody writes me a 10-page email, I can literally see it in the first 2 seconds what's going on with them, and I would say 95% of the time I'm correct. And
well, part of that person's problem is they're sending a 10-page email
that's
to
the one
anyone.
That they say comment on.
Yeah, don't do that.
Like they'll even write a follow up email saying, "I'm not sure if this information is important, but just in case this changes your point of view from before, here's a little tidbit of information."
Have you backed yourself into a corner as a relationship coach that you can now, no matter how bad your marriage gets, ever divorce?
That's an interesting question. I would say yes.
Yeah, I think so.
I would say yes
it would
to
reflect
that
poorly on your communication skills if you were to end up divorcing.
Yes, exactly. But I will say it's improved my communication skills because I'm very similar to a lot of the people that I work with. I came from the same place. I was insecure. I was uncomfortable. I had very low confidence and I didn't know how to communicate. And working with the men that I've worked with and the women now that I've worked with has really helped me learn and fine tune all of those skills and tools. So yes, it would be horrible if I got a divorce, but now I'm more equipped so that I hopefully don't have that situation.
Well, Allie always says, and I think I agree with her, and that is that the only way out sometimes is murder. So
yeah.
I mean,
watch a lot of Dateline.
Right.
All right. Let me give the details again on Twitter at Wingirl Method. The website is wingirlmethod.com, and the podcast is called Ask Women, featuring the Kevin Ryder episode coming soon.
Very exciting.
Available on iTunes. Marnie, it's always so much fun to have you, and thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:41.
Ralph Garman is here. Yeah. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning, the 5th of July. What the hell's going on, Ralph?
Really, we need the 4th of July off after the day after 4th of July.
Yeah, I think so, too.
That's what I'm saying.
That and Super Bowl Monday, when I'm president, those two will be national holidays.
Madness.
I like it.
Exhausting.
Thank you.
Before I get to the show business news, well, I guess this is kind of show business news. This is a cool opportunity to see something fun and also be part of something cool and fun. You know the IFC show documentary now?
Yes.
Yes.
Bill Hader, Fred Armisen.
So funny.
Yes.
So funny.
So funny.
Love it. Have you seen it, Kevin?
No.
Wow. You're the worst.
They are doing another one of their faux documentaries, and they're shooting a live performance where they need an audience. And the performance will be Bill Hader, Fred Armisen, and Maya Rudolph.
Oh, my God. When?
Fun.
When?
All
where?
Performing. And so they want to get an audience, and you can be part of the audience and be filmed for the live taping.
Okay.
Now, you have to dress in your best 80s clothing.
Done.
Every day.
Go on.
It'll be Thursday the 7th. So, let's say Tuesday.
This Thursday.
This Thursday.
Yeah.
Big concert episode. They need a full audience in San Gabriel at the San Gabriel Mission Playhouse on Mission Drive in San Gabriel. It's from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. is when they're shooting this on Thursday, July 7th. So they'd like to be part of the audience for this. And why wouldn't you? Bill Hader, Fred Armisen, Maya Rudolph? I want to go. You can go to Facebook. You can go to their Facebook page, the IFC Facebook page, give you all the information there as well. But just want to give you a heads up in case of something you thought you might like to do.
They are all so talented. And tell me, Ralph, that you saw the Bill Hader, Fred Armisen, the Blue Jean Committee, their yacht rock band. Tell me you saw that.
Yes.
Oh, my
God,
it was great.
It's terrific. Yeah, they've got a couple faux bands that are really just very entertaining.
And musically so good, too.
Yes. I agree. Speaking of music, not good music, but music, have you seen that new MILF Money video by Fergie?
God.
Have you heard that song?
I've not seen that.
I heard it and saw it and hated it.
It's awful.
It's
get
awful.
Get this week's stuff out of here.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I said to it. I was watching it. Get that week's stuff out of here. It's like a parody of a dance song.
Yes.
And the video looks like something you'd see on Saturday Night Live.
Oh.
It's like you got all that milk money. I got all the MILF money. What? And she like dances around. And
hasn't she been walking that line pretty much her whole career, though?
Yeah, but this one she crosses the line. She's not walking anymore. She has crossed over to full-blown self-parody. And she's in a bathtub full of milk. And I understand why the milk money and the MILF money ties together, just because it rhymes.
It rhymes, that's why.
And Kim Kardashian's in it. And it's just, it's hateable on every level.
It's such a bad song, Kevin.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
It's awful. It's really bad.
But why do you bring it up? What's going on?
Because the video just came out today.
Oh, right. Yeah,
this week, rather. And if you missed the video at the end, Kim Kardashian West takes a milk shower in it, and it's all very...
Well, that's not milk.
Ah! Ah!
Thank you.
Now hiring both locations.
Both locations are hiring now.
Get his weak stock out of here.
And this is interesting. Rebel Wilson puts on weight for her movies.
Puts on weight
yes.
for her movies.
She has gained weight for her career.
Hmm.
She said she once wrote a play, and she was starring in the play that she wrote alongside another girl who was getting considerably more laughs than she was, and Rebel didn't think she was any more talented than she was. She came to the conclusion that being fatter was funnier. And so she loses weight in between movies, but then packs it on when she's going to be in front of the camera.
That's interesting, because that is certainly
That's
how
her
she's
niche,
best known.
Right?
Yeah,
she's the funny...
Pitch Perfect and stuff?
She's the funny big friend who says all the wacky, sexy things while being big. All right, fat.
I mean, really.
Come on.
Come on.
Right? Oh, she's not.
She does it on purpose. That's what he's saying. She does it on purpose.
Right.
So we
that's
can say
what
it
I'm
now.
Saying.
But now we can say it.
But that's what we're saying.
I don't know what you're saying at all. I'm confused by you. I want a muffin.
Get it? She's fat.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
She eats muffins to put on the weight. Dr. Oz said you can eat blueberries.
Muffins.
Muffins.
So weird.
Here, Elvis's widow, have a muffin.
That's the strangest.
Share it with your daughter. I have to go to work. Cantors.
Muffins.
Muffins.
If you're not watching the Muffins video, stop what you're doing. Quit your jobs. Drop out of school.
It's
run
worth
to
it.
A computer and just watch it. You'll never stop. If anything else comes along, you'll say, get that weak stuff out of here. Today's celebrity birthday is RZA from Wu-Tang Clan is 47 years old today. Edie Falco is 53. When you have an hour or so, ask Bean what he thinks about Edie Falco. Quite a conversation.
You might want to pad that a little. Maybe a couple of hours.
Actress, that's all I'm saying.
That's not how you said it, though.
And Huey Lewis!
Don't tell me
where's the stupid clapping band for that song, too?
They don't clap on the songs that make sense, Ralph.
Apparently, there's no clapping.
Our band does what our band wants to do.
Wow.
Can't tell us.
You guys are bohemian.
When did you become the man?
You're artists. You're clap artists.
Thank you for noticing.
Why do some people tune out? Especially your music.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random...
We're back.
A random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda dealers. We appreciate that. Put your arms down, Ralph. Ralph's got his hands up like it's a touchdown.
It's good.
We're sponsoring the 5 p.m. hour, and we appreciate it.
They rearranged some of the letters in the words.
Oh, no, same.
Exact same. Exact same. 100% the same.
I thought maybe they changed up the script or something for you. Okay.
No. Tomorrow, is there anything better than fans running onto the field at sporting events?
Yes, everything that happens at a sporting event is better than that.
I love that so much, and I don't know why, but Ralph hates it, and Bean hates it.
All that does is just interrupt the sport that you're watching because you want to see the sport. Just a big, giant waste of time while you're waiting to
clear
the field.
It's sort of fun to see how long they can evade the security, though. It's like
fun?
The car chase of sports.
It's hardly the car chase of sports.
Also, tomorrow morning, we've got your tickets for a preview of Ghostbusters. We've got your tickets for the LA Galaxy. We'll tell you about the 21 Pilots playing at your house tomorrow morning.